Get ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it.
3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Hey.
Happy Thursday, everybody.
It is a happy Thursday.
We are excited to be here. I don't know if you guys were listening yesterday. Sad news.
Yeah.
Producer Doug was filling in for Mitch while she was on vacation. Mitch returns from vacation day, which is happy news.
That is happy news.
The sad news is, producer Doug was fired. Yeah. Our boss Daniel, man.
He's hard. Ruthless. Yeah, he's hardcore.
He's ruthless.
He even, I think he called Doug a poop or something.
It's craziness. I don't even know what to say to that. We lost producer Doug, so
is
I don't know.
Is Doug okay?
I don't even know what we're going to do for birthdays or for, you know, anything, really.
Has anybody talked to Doug?
I haven't seen him.
We should call him.
Yeah, maybe we should. I don't know. He was here so short a time that...
It doesn't matter.
Was he part of the family?
I thought he was. Probably not, though. He smelled bad.
Yeah. He did kind of help out with birthdays, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe we could just get Stever to come back.
Yeah, that's a good idea, except he's on vacation.
Ugh. Everybody's on vacation.
Celeste is on vacation.
I'm going to go on a staycation.
You're just going to stay here?
Yep, at home vacation with... With Pastor Skip's journey through Jerusalem, I'm gonna
boom.
I'm gonna do that.
I thought you were gonna stay like here.
No, I sleep in the skate park.
Right.
That's where I'm gonna do it. I have a little portable television with a VHS player. I hope that thing is VHS compatible.
Yeah.
Is
I'm
it?
Not sure.
It's not.
I don't know.
Crap. Why did people get rid of VHS?
Why did people get rid of Doug?
People didn't. Daniel did.
I know.
Boss man D.
Gosh, I wish he would have at least consulted with us first, because he was a great producer.
They call him Heavy D.
Yeah.
On the street. That's what they call him. He rides his bike, and he's like, yo, Heavy D out.
Man.
And I'm just like, whoa, he's in a street gang or something.
You can catch Daniel from 3 to 7 right now, filling in for Celeste while she's out in California living the dream.
Yeah. What a doo-doo head, too.
I can't say that. She was at the Angels game last night. And Instagrammed, you know how you could do those, like, what is that called? Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm Insta-photoing you guys.
Yep.
From the game. She may or may not have bought me a hat from the stadium.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
Now, she's actually the coolest human.
That's cool, considering that my birthday is only 5 days away.
And she got me something.
She got you something.
Hey, my birthday was last month.
I know.
So I didn't get anything last month.
Does that mean I get to look forward to a present in a
September?
Month? I'll deal with that. I can deal. Hashtag Mateo problems.
Yep. Those are our problems. Those are our issues. Those are our trubs.
Yep.
If you have trubs.
Trubs.
Coming up. 9 o'clock hour Theology Thursday. It's getting deep. I'm excited.
It'll be fun.
Today's show is going to be great. We got a Schroff in studio this morning, hanging out, courtesy of Aspen Project. We're also going to be kicking it with Beenix and Jarrett Petro for Theology Thursday. We've got some seriousness to discuss.
Is Jarrett coming in too?
I don't know. I said that, and then I just realized I think he's still on vacation. Ugh. Why is everybody on vacation?
It's the week, man.
Gosh!
I'll tell you who's not on vacation. Us.
No, we're not on vacation. Although you are going to be leaving on vacation.
Not vacation.
Yeah, it's not vacation.
I'm going to be working while I'm out.
That's true. But it just seems, because we have a cool job, it seems like vacation.
That's probably what everybody thinks. So, like, oh, well, they have a cool job anyway.
Yeah. Hey, we got an email from a listener this morning, or either this morning or yesterday.
What'd they say?
She was nervous. I think it was Jean or... Jeannie. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Morning show question.
I'm trying to.
And I was like, oh no.
Trying to
click
it. And our stupid. Are you really going to be new show? Please tell me this won't take away. Yeah, it's going to. We're going to disappear forever.
We got a. We're given an offer we can't refuse.
Yep.
Jean emailed in, or Jeannie.
Jeannie.
Said,
I think that's Jeannie.
For real? You guys really doing a news show on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me this won't take away Team Austin Morning Party. Hey, good news, bad news scenario. Good news is, yes, we got a TV show. Bad news is, we're leaving this joint.
Boom. We don't care about y'all.
That might be a lie.
That's a lie.
Yeah, we're not going anywhere.
We're not going
anywhere.
But we really don't care about y'all.
Oh, my gosh. Of course we do.
No, we don't.
You know who else we care about?
Phone.
Early morning phone calls. Static!
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? It in the thing?
Is it? I checked.
Is anyone there?
Hello?
Are you there? You got hung up on, jerk.
That's why we don't care about early morning phone calls.
That's why. We don't care about nobody in this world. We don't care about nobody in this whole world.
Oh, man. Yes, it's true, Genie. Coming soon.
Yeah, we've been offered an opportunity to possibly have a television show, but there's still some development that still needs to go on.
Yeah, so be praying for all of the details and that everything will roll smoothly.
Yes.
Potential phone call again.
Let's see.
Phone lines are jammed on the Thursday morning. Static!
What up, dude?
Hurricane Shane!
How you guys doing this morning?
Good, man.
Can't complain.
How are you?
Have you had coffee yet?
Yep. No.
Me neither.
He has.
You have?
I have, yeah. I'm coffeeing right now.
Mateo is literally coughing as we speak.
Did you bring it from home?
Actually, Mr. Peter Benson makes it in the morning.
That's preparedness.
It's strong, and I like it.
I have a hard decision to make today because I got a dentist appointment this afternoon.
Wow.
The question of the day is, do I drink my morning coffee to get me going?
Hang on, let me type this.
And have coffee breath.
Here's the thing. He's got a mask on.
What?
Yeah.
Who does?
Yeah.
The dentist.
Yeah, the dentist does. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
So, yeah,
he's going to have his PPE or personal protective equipment.
Yeah, that's
done.
A good answer. That's true.
You know what I mean? I think he got a green light on the Americano, buddy.
Did you bring a toothbrush?
I did not.
You need to brush your teeth right before you go so they think you're doing a good job. That's a rule.
I flossed this morning so they would think I was doing a good job.
That's a rule.
And my gum started bleeding. I was like, they're going to know.
They're going to know.
They're going to know I'm a liar.
I told you to start flossing a long
floss.
Time ago.
That's every single time I go in there, and she looks at me and she goes, my dental assistant, her name's Mylin, and she's awesome. And she goes, why you no floss? No, she doesn't talk like that. But her name
why you no floss, Steve-O?
Her name really is Mylin. She's going to laugh when she hears that.
Steve-O, you speak Japanese.
Totally.
Let's hear it.
Domo. No, that's not true.
See, and I haven't had coffee yet, dude.
Shane, you're feeling better today.
You are, man.
I am,
you
dude.
Are.
It's been like 5 days, man, and I am feeling so much better today.
Good.
So, yeah, thanks,
good, man.
Dude, I love you guys, man. I want you guys to have an amazing day.
Yeah, you too.
Well, I want you to have an amazing day. Awesomeness.
Right on, man.
All right,
God
man.
Bless.
God bless you, too.
Bye.
Hurricane Shane.
Just calling to wish a good day.
Who needs coffee when you got Hurricane Shane waking you up?
I know, but I am going to still drink this coffee.
Oh, you do. Okay. All right. On the way, we got some news. We got breaking news and birthdays if you want to get a shout out. Still got to figure out what we're going to do. Steve Austin Morning Party.
No!
Hey!
And it'll be fun.
This is gonna be a real party, isn't it?
Ain't no party like a Team Awesome Morning Party, cause a Team Awesome Morning Party party don't stop.
This show is so clever.
Turn on the news!
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
I just realized
breaking news.
Don't even have the breaking news stuff.
Is there a sheet?
Fired Doug. And you don't even have the.
Well, let me go look for it.
You don't
Hang
even
on.
Have the sheet.
Hang on.
While we're looking for news, because we don't even know what we're doing without producer Doug, I want to let everybody know, speaking of breaking news, come on, computer. Three lanes are blocked, I-40 East at I-25, so of course the big eye. I believe Peter Benson came in here and said that a semi-truck was on fire. It's like the Dark Knight Rises in here. So I don't even know. So just to let everybody know. Big eye. It's crazy. That's where it is at, right?
Yeah, that's
semi truck on fire.
Yeah, I-40 East. Right before you get to the Big Eye, there is a truck on fire, and it says three lanes are blocked.
I'm on fire. I'm
so light them up. Hey, they're here
tonight.
Paramore and Fall Out Boy tonight.
Yeah, I think that dude was just a big fan.
Probably. That's why he wrecked his truck. Because he's a big fan.
It's on fire.
Today's August 7th, 2014. And here's your breaking news.
Woo!
A burglar broke into a Delaware restaurant. When police got there, he was cooking crab cakes.
What?
That's right. This man has no shame. This man has no fear. The cops walked in. He said, "Would you like a crab cake?" Maybe two. I've prepared quite a few of them. A college football-loving astronaut will be at the International Space Station in September, so NASA is hooking the station up with the SEC Network. Roll Tide, that's what I'm talking
about.
Roll Tide in space. Am I right? Not Doug, who's not here. Roll Tide in space. Yeah. Tourists in northern Australia witnessed a rare sight, a battle between a saltwater crocodile and a shark. We saw the picture of this.
It was crazy.
I feel sorry for that shark, I gotta be honest. It was a little shark.
It was a little shark.
If it was like a freaking megalodon, that crocodile would have been gobbled up.
Yeah.
Sharks are cool. Sharks versus crocodiles, sharks are awesome.
Except right now it's 1-0 crocodile in real life.
Well, throw a baby crocodile into the ocean and see what happens. Let's do that. Hey, let's do that.
Yeah.
For the sharks.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do.
There's a few baby crocodiles over at the aquarium. I'm
we'll
sure
go,
we can just
we'll
go,
go take
hey,
those.
Hey, man, can we throw one of these in the big tank with the sharks?
Yeah, but the ones, the sharks at the aquarium, aren't they like, Jack told me they're just nurse sharks. And me and Jack both, we're both shark friends.
Yeah.
And we're like, I said, nurse sharks are lame. And he's like, yeah, they are.
There are a few different kinds of sharks. It wasn't just nurse sharks.
Was there, what was it?
I don't know, mako sharks? No.
They had a mako shark? No way.
It's a mako.
No way. I bet it was like, was it like a gray or a white tip reef shark or something like that?
No.
I bet it was something like that.
Ask Jack. You guys are the shark nerds.
Yeah, team shark all the way. Are you team shark or are you team crocodile? That would be a great question of the day and put that photo up.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what you guys think, if you're wrong. A California TV news reporter was arrested for stealing and selling expensive wallets. Customers in the department store, they spotted her shoplifting. I guess her TV news reporting job was not making her enough money. Makes you wonder why we're starting to do that news show.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not. Okay. That's not why.
Five types of sharks.
Let's hear it.
Is this the right place?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Let me hear these sharks.
Sand tiger shark?
Those are okay.
Nurse shark?
Lame.
Black tip shark?
Yes.
Zebra shark?
Nope.
Sandbar shark?
Okay, I think your two menacing ones are going to be possibly your zebra shark and your black tip shark. The sand tiger shark, if I remember correctly, is very slow.
You know who scared me the most in that big tank?
Who?
The barracuda the size of me.
There it is. Barracudas, they are also menacing.
There was a ginormous, I'm not even exaggerating. It was like my length. Barracuda.
Yeah, though I hate sand tiger sharks. Oh, they're so lazy. You can look at some sharks and you just know that they're lazy.
Yeah.
Nurse sharks are also lazy. But I will say this. I think nurse sharks are the ones that they've documented like they sleep. They sleep underwater. Because for the longest time they thought sharks had to always remain in motion, and most of them do.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But they found some nurse sharks chilling, sleeping, not moving. And it was like Jacques Cousteau back in the 80s was like, oh.
That's a cool looking shark.
That's a sand tiger shark. Those are lame.
You're lame!
No, I'm not.
It looks cool!
You ask Jack if a sand tiger shark is cool. And you know what he'll tell you? He'll say, no.
What's that? That's a cool looking shark.
That's either the zebra or the black tip. That's what I was saying. That's probably the cool one. The menacing ones.
Okay.
The ones that would get you in the ocean.
I think the aquarium's cool.
No, the aquarium is awesome. You can't keep...
Look at how big those sharks are. They're so big and cool.
You can't keep, like, the big predators in...
Like a great white.
Tanks. Yeah, because they die. They need more ocean. They need those wide open spaces.
Wide open spaces!
Yeah! They need that stuff.
Yeah.
Sharks are cool.
Dixie Chicks.
Sharks are cool. Three New York City transit trains had to be taken out of service this week and treated for bed bugs.
Whoa, okay. Gross, man.
Let me tell you about the bed bugs at my house. They're called Beans and Panda.
Yeah, they bug you in bed?
Yes. Today at 3-something, Panda scratched on the door until I got up and let her in the room. And I was like, okay, you probably just want to come sleep in the bed. No, they wanted to come in the room and start fighting, which was awesome for me. And then freaking Beans, his tongue is like sandpaper. I know, like, cats don't have smooth tongues. I get that. Because, you know, but his tongue is especially sandpapery. Our buddy Jamie, his wife Christy, Beans licked her one day when she was hanging out with Dawn, and she was like, whoa! His tongue is just rough. And so if you're trying to sleep, and then he starts licking you, you're like, oh!
It's like rubbing a Frito against
you. It really does feel like sandpaper. It's like...
All cats' tongues feel like sandpaper.
You'll see. This one is different. It's weird. Because Panda's licked me before, and it's like regular cat tongue. And then my cat growing up, Maggie, regular cat tongue. Beans is like... mutant.
For real.
Mutant cat tongue. And then he doesn't sleep. I don't think Beans sleeps. He wants people to pet him.
Mm-hmm.
No, he sleeps because I've walked out and he's been on the blanket and he goes, meow. Wakes up and I'm like, yeah, I got you. I caught you sleeping, you little jerk. If he didn't have so much hair on him, man. I'd go over there and start licking him. See how he likes it. I would never do that. That would be gross.
That'd be a little weird.
Animal rights groups have put a $15,000 price tag on the head of a guy who kicked a helpless squirrel into the Grand Canyon. Did you see this story?
No!
Yeah. Somebody, like a third party, saw it happen and posted the video and said, I had nothing to do with this. I did video it and I didn't help. So it's kind of a jerk move anyway. But these two French dudes, that's from the video, where they taunted, they lured a squirrel with food to the edge of a cliff, and when the squirrel got there and started eating the food, they kicked it off the cliff and started laughing at the Grand Canyon. That's mean.
That is mean.
That poor defenseless little squirrel.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-mm.
Hopefully he was a flying squirrel.
I don't think he was, but we can pretend, so we feel better. Sylvester Stallone says he's working on the script for a female spinoff of the Expendables called the Expendables.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You said that joke yesterday.
And he wants his rough and tough lady mercenary wife to be played by none other than Sigourney Weaver. I really did not know that's what it was going to be called.
That's amazing.
But that just goes to show you that I have great ideas, Hollywood.
Yeah.
I.e. my Spider-Man idea.
Yeah, it was a good idea.
It was in Comics Corner yesterday. If you miss it, you can podcast it. You can hear me lay out my plan for how Spider-Man could come back and be a viable presence in the movie realm.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, not so much.
Not so much at all, Sony.
Not when you got freaking Captain America and X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy coming out and being incredible.
Yep.
Oh! Compromising pictures have emerged online of Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones with women who are not his wife.
Gross.
Yeah.
Really?
Gross. I think they're a lot younger, too.
Oh.
Doug knows about it.
Doug's here!
Doug, when did you get here?
What are you doing here, Doug? You got fired! You were fired yesterday!
Don't put your chapstick on with such confidence.
Oh, great. Doug's here, guys.
We might get in trouble.
Did somebody tell him that he was fired? I thought...
Daniel screamed at him. Doug started crying.
Doug.
Just...
Where is your Doug-nitty? Gosh, man.
Doug-nitty.
He has none.
You have none, Doug.
He has no Doug-nitty.
There is none Doug-nitty in your heart.
Gosh, I hope he doesn't beg for his
Well, effect. Daniel doesn't get here till like 8. Doug, maybe you can clear out.
Well, we didn't have a plan for birthdays.
We didn't.
So, now I guess.
New Instagram photos show that during the offseason, LeBron James has lost at least 10 pounds. Did you see those? He's real skinny.
The 10 pounds?
Yes. Did
photos?
You see the pounds themselves?
they
look crazy.
You said he lost weight, and then you said, did you see those?
The photos.
Like,
the Instagram photos of him losing.
No,
most people would have interpreted that as the photos of said lost weight. But no, you thought I meant the physical fat.
I don't know.
Yeah, he.
I haven't seen
They
him.
Put up pictures.
He looks thin?
Like, yeah, he's very thin.
Oh no.
Weird.
Oh no.
Oh no, y'all. Why? New Jersey authorities have arrested a man suspected in 4 robbery cases that netted the man a total of only $2. Criminals, you gotta make more money than that. You're gonna rob a store, make it at least $50,000 for your time.
Wow.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Oh, can't read that one. That's crazy. Oh, this is cool. Okay? This is cool. A teenager from New York whose grandfather suffers from Alzheimer's disease won a $50,000 science prize for developing wearable sensors that send mobile alerts when a dementia patient begins to wander away from bed.
Dude!
15-year-old Kenneth Shinozuka, who took home the Scientific American Science in Action Award, said his invention was inspired by his grandfather's symptoms, which frequently caused him to wander from bed in the middle of the night and hurt himself. His invention uses coin-sized wireless sensors, that are worn on the feet of a potential wanderer. The sensors detect pressure caused when a person stands up, triggering an audible alert on a caregiver's smartphone using an app. Science!
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm talking about!
That's what I'm talking about.
Nice.
That's what I wanna talk about. Science. Do you like science?
I love science.
Remember when all national parks banned drones?
Yes.
Well, apparently someone didn't remember that.
Oh, no.
Because last weekend, a tourist visiting the beautiful and pristine Yellowstone National Park managed to crash his right into a hot spring.
He had a drone with him?
Okay. Officials say they're working on removing the drone. However, at 160 degrees Fahrenheit, it's likely to be nice and tender after soaking in Mother Nature's stew.
Wow.
I would like to thank the writer of this for saying Mother Nature stew, because that is an interesting picture.
Yeah.
A Reddit user was so perturbed with the kid in line behind him at Burger King, he decided to get even.
Oh, no.
The Reddit user said a kid behind him was yelling about wanting a pie. No, mother! That's my pie!
You don't know the story? This is the best story
I'm about
I've ever
to know
heard
it.
In my life.
So when the guy got to the counter, he ordered every last pie.
Every single one
23.
In the store. He bought them all.
As he walked away from the counter with his burger and 23 pies, he heard the mom say to the cashier, "What do you mean you don't have any pies left? Who bought them all?" He probably walked off going, "I'll sell you this one pie for $10. Shut your kid up.
Dude.
That's what I would have done.
23 pies. I mean, that was an expensive statement.
If I was him, I would have walked over to the trash can in front of him and gone, "Oh." Just dumped him in there and said, "Oh, good thing I saved my burger and this one pie from me." Or it could be yours for $100. It'll shut your kid
up. Oh, man.
Ah! Now, kitty! A tweeting dog is resting after surviving a 300-foot fall from a cliff into the Atlantic Ocean. Vimes is the pet of a journalist and a blogger who set up the dog's Twitter account 2 years ago. The couple were on honeymoon in Italy when their pet fell during a walk on the Irish coast with the bride's parents. They contacted emergency services fearing that Vimes would drown. An Irish Coast Guard came to the dog's rescue. Before a rescue crew arrived, Vimes had managed to swim onto rocks. 2 crew members used kayaks to reach the rocks and lifted the terrier into a lifeboat, which brought him to shore. How do we know this? He took a selfie. Just kidding. How does the dog tweet?
There's got to be an answer in there somewhere.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
There must be an answer.
He uses the compotter.
The compotter. Guys, we've got to move on, but you know what? We need to move on. There's a couple more stories we can talk about. Again, let's look at traffic really fast.
Really fast!
Just wanted to tell you about this. There's an accident. A truck was on fire. I-40 East right before the Big Eye. Now it says 2 lanes are blocked. And traffic is pretty congested around that accident, so be careful and plan ahead. Road construction, roadway reduced to 2 lanes at Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest, and we have construction I-25 in Paseo. And that is all, because now it is time for birthdays with Fugitive from Justice, Doug.
Doug!
Oh, man, is the thing on?
There it is.
There it is.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm Doug, good, how are man. You, buddy?
I'm unemployed.
How's the job search going, man?
Well, spent my night laying in a ditch somewhere. Don't really remember much.
Hashtag save Doug didn't work?
No.
Gosh, nothing the Fernando works. Family tried, man.
Yeah.
Save Doug, that was going to go. It's going to go huge.
But it's all right, because Daniel's asleep.
Yeah. He doesn't know.
Nice big
he doesn't know
house.
No better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boss man Dan's kind of a jerk, huh?
So if you're listening, let's not let this.
Can we say that?
Leak.
I was thinking about it. I was like, I came in and called him a jerk while he was firing you, and then I thought, wait a second. That's my boss.
Well, there's this weird conundrum because right now he's filling in for Celeste while she's on vacation. And being the program director of Static, I'm technically his boss. I may have to fire him.
Oh, man.
I may have to fire my boss.
Drama will ensue this morning.
Drama bomb.
Uh-oh.
Aren't you fired?
No. Oh, no. Peter Benson. No.
Peter Benson.
Peter Benson is trying to get in. Peter Benson is trying to get Doug in.
Daniel said you're fired.
No, yeah. No, Peter
get
Benson.
Peter
don't
Benson.
Fire Doug.
Kick his butt.
No.
Kick his butt, Peter.
Oh, it just got real. Peter Benson just came in and fired Doug again.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Peter Benson fired Doug.
That's awesome.
You know when you're fired by Peter Benson, I mean, where else do you go? What do you do?
What Gosh, do you do? Where did Doug go?
He got fired.
Did he escape?
Again.
Okay.
What? Oh, oh.
Oh, okay. He explained it.
Oh, okay.
He explained it.
Oh, okay.
I apologize.
Oh, okay.
No,
I was
Peter.
Just under the impression that Doug was fired.
Oh,
and
yes.
Don't.
Okay.
No. It's
okay.
A new day.
New
it's
day.
A new day.
It's a new day.
Yeah.
His mercies are new every day. Oh, I'm so glad you got to keep your job, Doug. It looks like you're unfired.
Well, today is August 7th, 2014, day 209.
You just got physically accosted.
Yep.
Peter kicked your Benson. Butt, man.
Gosh,
I think I pooped myself.
Whoa!
I really wish there was a webcam in there. He literally picked you up and threw you out of the studio.
Peter does CrossFit, I guess.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man, American Ninja Benson. Oh.
All right, well, the first birthday this morning. An American actor and musician nominated for an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Wait, listen. I know this. Is it Jesse Eisenberg?
Nope.
This is Social Network, right?
Nope.
Dang it.
Social Network was Trent Reznor and...
Wait.
Atticus Ross.
What is this music? This is beautiful.
This is Man of Steel.
That's okay. Lawrence Fishburne.
General Zod.
Michael Shannon.
Yeah. Yes. Michael Shannon.
Gosh. Okay, look. I'm going to say it. He was nominated for an Academy Award for another film, and then he did this role, and he was like, I will not... this is for my people. You have destroyed me.
I will find him!
I am General Zod. I'm a very refined actor. I mean business. I thought he was the weak point.
I thought he did good.
Really?
I did.
I thought his acting was like weird.
No, I liked it.
He's also in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Neither have I.
I've heard nothing but great things about that show.
Hang on, let me draw this lightning bolt.
Okay. Wentworth Miller filmed scenes yesterday as Captain Cold for the Flash TV show, by the way.
He did.
Jeff John said it was incredible. Like, he nerded out to see him. So,
yes.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good, yeah.
Michael Shannon is 39.
43.
He is 40 years old.
Oh.
You were right there. Guys, Warner Brothers announced a ton of stuff yesterday. We'll talk about it later. Jerry Seinfeld.
Nope. He played...
George?
He played Dennis Nerdy in Jurassic Park.
Oh, Dennis Nedry.
Nedry.
What's his name?
Newman.
Newman, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know his name.
Wayne Knight.
Wayne Knight!
Wayne Knight, gosh.
Wayne Knight today is, what do you think, 50? I'll say 50.
Well, he was involved in a hoax recently, a death hoax.
Oh, right.
Celebrity death hoax. I think he's
probably older.
46.
He's 59 years old.
Whoa. Oh.
Next up. NHL superstar, often injured, Some consider him a crybaby. Plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
If only I cared. Sidney Crosby.
Yes.
Oh, the Penguins. Sidney Crosby is 33.
Hockey.
34. He is 27.
Whoa. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yo, that's crazy too.
Next up, Major League outfielder. Just recently in the past offseason signed a very big contract to stay with the team he's currently with. Even though he should have been a Yankee. He's considered to be the next big thing in baseball.
Oh, yes. Are you serious? It's Trouty's birthday!
Trouty!
Oh, it's Mike Trout's birthday!
Yep.
It's a national holiday! Oh, man. Well, he sports number 27, but he's not nearly that old. Celeste Mitchell got to see him last night.
Right.
Gosh! So jealous! Mike Trout is, wait. He is... I should know this.
27.
No.
Is he older than that?
No.
Young?
Yes, because he signed this ginormous contract, and I was going, dude, he just signed this record deal for a player younger than... Oh, man! I'm going to say 22.
He's 23.
Dang it!
Nobody likes him.
He was 22 when he signed it.
Yes!
I'm an idiot. Next up, a South American actress, producer, director, and fashion model. She rose to fame in the 1990s following the films The Devil's Advocates, Mighty Joe Young, The Cider House Rules, Reindeer Games, The Yards, The Legger of Bagger Vance, Men of Honor, Monster,
Prometheus,
she's
in Mad Max. Snow White and the Huntsman, and was one of the only good parts of that film. Her name's Charlize Theron, yes. And she's incredible.
Oh, she's in, the new Mad Max coming out, Fury Road.
She is a great actress, man.
She won, did you say Monster?
Yeah.
She won an Academy Award for Monster, because did you see her?
I did not.
She gained, like, a ton of weight and looked crazy.
Yeah.
She got a gold nomination for her role in Young Adult.
Did you guys see Snow White and the Huntsman?
Yeah. I didn't think it was as bad as everybody made it out to be.
She was the best part
of
that
movie. Yeah, she
was. She was fantastic.
Any movie with Kristen Stewart in it is hard to watch.
But somehow, she always just looks like she's in pain.
Yeah, she does. She's like, hey, smile. What happened? It looks like it hurts her. Are her muscles hurting? What's wrong with her face? What's wrong with her face?
Hey, I just got a text from a really rad guy who says... Enjoying listening to you guys this morning. I agree with Mateo. Nurse Sharks, lazy.
Thank you.
But still cooler than crocodiles.
Amen. And who is that?
I believe he needs to do a new movie. This is a national... This is a director. A major motion picture director.
Oh.
And I feel like I'm going to write a documentary. It's called Persecuted 2. And it's where...
And it's about you.
It's about crocodiles.
And it's about you and how your opinions are wrong.
Sharks. Because you and your crazy sharks,
Thank
you, guys.
You Daniel. I appreciate your support.
Yeah. Crocodiles are awesome, guys.
No, they're not. Come on.
They are terrifying.
They're like fake dinosaurs.
In the zoo, you see them, and they're huge.
Yeah.
And you're like, dude.
The one at the zoo here was huge.
Terrifying.
And it was just sitting there. Yeah.
What do sharks do?
They just swim. Like, they are active movers.
Yeah.
Constantly looking for their prey to devour.
I'll give you this. Jaws was way better than any crocodile movie ever.
Thank you. What was that? Lake Placid.
Oh, gosh, that was so bad.
The best thing about that movie was that stupid old lady.
Whose birthday is it?
It's freaking Charlize Theron. She used to be married to Stephen Jenkins at Third Eye Blind.
What?
She was in the video for,
I didn't
What's
that
one song?
I didn't even know.
It's from a movie. I know the name of it, but I'm not going to say it. Okay.
She's 44.
42.
She is 39 years old.
Okay, wow. She's younger than I thought. I'm
sorry,
Charlie.
Charlie.
She's just done so much in her young life.
David Duchovny.
Yes.
Oh!
Nailed it.
Hank Moody on Californication and Fox Mulder.
Oh, dude, Fox Mulder. Gosh, man.
50.
There's so many shows that need to say thank you to the X-Files. Fringe. Existence, yes. What a great show that was. David Duchovny is 50.
That's what I said.
That's what you said, so I'm going to say 51.
He is 54 years old.
Oh, okay.
We'll skip ahead to the only real date that matters today. On this day, one year, police in Lille, France warned that Garden Gnome Liberation Front had made off with a dozen garden dwarfs in the past week. The seven-member group of nighttime commandos who idolized Snow White the Seven Dwarfs left notes vowing to liberate all dwarfs from lawns, gardens, and flower beds. Early in the year, the GGLF had liberated 30 gnomes in Normandy.
What a bunch of idiots. The Garden Gnome Liberation thing, and it was the GGLF? It's obviously GNLF. Garden Gnome? Hello? Gosh. So stupid.
Doug. Doug. Pray for my friend.
Well.
He's an idiot. Can you pray somebody out of idiocy?
I don't know.
Is that effective?
I mean, I'm gonna look that up. My mom did.
My mom's been praying I ain't an idiot since day one. I'm like, dang, dude.
Heck yeah.
Worked.
Oh my gosh, this music. We've got to hurry and pick a date.
Normandy.
1949.
1919.
1997.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that was recent.
People get bored in the
90s. Wow.
The only number one song today.
Christina Aguilera, Genie in a Bottle.
Yep.
This was... Okay.
2000.
1998.
Today in... 1999.
Ah!
Today is Lighthouse Day. It's particularly preposterous packaging day, Professional Speakers Day, and is Raspberries and Cream Day.
Yeah! Raspberries and Cream! Today is the return of our dear friend Mitch. We're gonna have to get her in on the morning show and see how our vacation went. We got a great show for you. We got a Schroff from the Aspen Project in.
Yeah!
Theology Thursday, we're going to talk a little bit about Gungor and some interesting articles that have sprung up recently.
Quote, unquote, rocking the Christian whatever.
Oh, yeah! We're going to talk about that because you know that you know that you know. In a week, it's going to be blasted all over everybody's Facebook, so we might as well talk about it now.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about it now.
Nip it in the butt.
Nip it in the butt.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's confusing.
Oh, it's in the butt.
No, it's the butt.
I'm pretty sure it's the butt.
It's nip it in the butt, right, Doug?
Yeah.
Because you're nipping a rose in the rosebud. So yeah, they nip it in the butt. Roses.
Yeah, but if you nip it in the butt.
Guys, I'm a gardener, I know.
Then it can't come out again.
I know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Gosh, that was amazing. Well, we gotta take a quick break. Hopefully, we still have jobs. On the way back, Deep Sea Diver, we got some Bayside. More Team Awesome Morning Party.
No!
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning!
Team Awesome Morning Party. Making your morning a little more awesomer. Ist. A little more awesomest.
So glad!
So glad. We got to look at this, guys. This is
so
what,
glad!
This is what we're not glad about. There's a vehicle fire, I-40 east at I-25, the Big I. Traffic is very congested around that. If you're eastbound on 40, it's going to go a little slow. We got construction I-25 in Paseo, and we have construction Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That is it.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch. Willing to make breakfast burritos on the spot.
For us.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
We went over there, the breakfast burritos weren't ready yet, and we're like, but we got a morning show to do, and they were like, well, shoot dang.
Shoot dang.
What kind do you want?
Shout out to Heidi. She is the best.
She is awesome.
Except for Annie. And good.
What about Michael? He let you borrow Star Wars that you gave to me.
Yeah.
I started to read it.
And he's still the best.
Solomon's Porch, coffee shop here on the Calvert campus. That's what we're talking about. Sopo, they bring us traffic every single day. And delicious breakfast. So there you go. 505-338-3669. The phone number is 505-338-3669. Yes!
Hooray!
It's Thursday. It's Throwback Thursday.
Throwback.
So we're throwing it back to a time when Michelle was employed at Static Radio. We thought we'd let her come in studio, say some final words. She's been gone for a few weeks, and we realized how much better it was around here.
I guess I just didn't realize that I didn't work here anymore.
Yeah!
Oh. Do I not work here anymore?
No, you do. That was a ding, because Mitch is on the air, and you're
Hi.
Back.
Yeah.
She's
Welcome back.
Thank
back
you.
From the future.
How was vacation?
It was amazing. Yeah. Tiring. I didn't have enough time to, you know, when you come back from vacation and you need time just like a vacation from your vacation?
Yes.
I didn't have that time.
You have to start planning that.
I know.
Yeah. The vacation from the vacation is always necessary. So,
yeah, I wish I would have remembered that part.
Yeah, no time for that because you and Celeste planned this perfectly to where you were both on vacation relatively.
It was amazing. We gave each other a call when she was like, I'm going to vacation. I'm like, oh, good. It's just a bunch of guys in there. They're going to be so bored.
Yeah. We actually...
No, you were
like
bored.
A lot was taken
you were
care of.
Well, yeah,
got
because it
done.
Had to.
Seems
because
like
you guys
went smoothly.
Because you guys had to.
Yeah.
But we know that we have to disappear for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, you guys are like, they'll do it.
Dude, I found this list of throwbacks. Because,
throwback.
You know, you were gone for a couple weeks. Uh-huh. Celeste is gone now. I have no idea what that has to do with Throwback Thursday.
I know. It was a... You tried.
1 year ago today. It's stories that happened one year ago today.
Okay.
Okay. August 7th, 2013. You were...
He was on tour.
You were on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you were here.
Mm-hmm. I was still morning show.
Yeah, see? Throwback. That's why I brought you
in. I was still morning show.
Oh, my gosh. Give me these batteries. I'm going to throw them at her.
I'm this close to leaving right now. As it is. You guys go ahead and do your show. I'm just going to stand over here.
Throwback Thursday. 1 year ago today, a Florida restaurant got rid of an arcade-style claw device used to pull live lobsters from a tank. Did we talk about
Why
this?
Why did they get rid of that?
I don't know. Until late July, diners at Carolina Ale House in Doral could pay $2 to win a live lobster by grabbing it with a mechanical claw.
That yeah. is awesome.
Yeah, like one of those things you use to win teddy bears yeah. and other awesome prizes. Yeah, a live lobster. And you could totally win a lobster dinner.
That's awesome.
Would you do that for $2?
Yep.
Yeah,
I feel like
it's
I would
a
have
lobster
to try
dinner.
It.
Do that anyway.
It's a story you could tell to your friends later when you actually won said lobster.
Also, you get a lobster dinner for $2 if you win.
Right? Yeah. I feel like people would keep popping in a couple dollars because, like, lobster dinner, that's got to be like a $30 dinner, right?
Yeah, so you spend at least like.
Say I try five times, it's $10.
Yeah. Huh? Basic math. Good job.
Just, you know, basic math.
Still
Thanks.
Got it.
Thanks. Thanks, bro. People from around England gathered in Birmingham for the first ever skunk beauty contest a year ago today.
Mm.
Little black and white stink bombs were dressed up in clothes and groomed like show dogs.
Like Pepe Le Pew?
Yeah.
Like
Pepe Le Pew.
And then there was other stuff.
And then there was other things
There
that
are other
happened.
Stories that happened on this day one
a
year ago.
A commercial for DirecTV's... NFL Sunday Ticket premiered online a year ago today. Do you guys remember the Eli and Peyton Manning rap football on your phone?
Nope.
What? Doug, do you remember football on your phone? Who are you people?
We don't watch a
Doug,
lot of
I'm
TV.
Proud.
Football
proud of you.
On your phone? It was like the NFL like kickoff.
I think,
no?
you know what no? I remember about that? I remember you and Steve talking about that.
Oh.
I don't remember it happening. I just remember you guys talking about it.
It was hilarious. This Throwback Thursday sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Jeff Bezos, CEO and founder of Amazon, purchased the Washington Post for $250 million.
Oh.
I don't remember any of these things. I remember the football rap because it was hilarious. Gosh. Okay. A Japanese toilet maker unveiled its network-enabled toilet, which could be controlled with an Android app.
That's cool.
That sounds like you play games on people.
I wonder if they still use it.
I don't understand what that means. A network-enabled toilet.
So mm-hmm. you could flush it from anywhere? That's
yeah, but why wouldn't you just... I guess if you're, like, weird about flushing the toilet...
But so then you're on your phone.
Flush.
Oh, but then, yeah, but
Come
then you're...
on!
Then you're flushing the toilet without...
Yeah, because none of us are on our phones in the toilet.
I hate it. I hate it. When someone... When people in this room are gone for a significant amount of time and I get a text message.
Mitch, I do that on purpose.
so you know what's happening.
Oh, I don't have to. You don't have to do
what
that. I know.
What else are you going to do?
That's the power. I don't have to do that.
Finish
but
up.
I do.
We don't sit all the time. So when you do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, what do
it's
you
like
do
a
now?
Privilege?
It's a, yeah, well, that it should be a privilege. It's a yeah. toilet.
Yeah.
You could be going outside, Mitch.
Yeah.
No, not a big
not
deal.
Not everyone has toilets.
It's true.
Gosh. year ago today, maybe you'll remember this tale because this was a big deal. 1 year ago today, it was unveiled that Ryan Gosling and Josh Brolin were being eyed for the role of Batman.
I do remember that. And Josh Brolin actually interviewed for it.
Yeah.
And I think Ryan Gosling probably did, but I think Josh Brolin got further in negotiations.
I could not imagine Ryan Gosling being Batman.
Well, especially since they're going for like a grizzled, older-looking. Some photos were released this week of Ben Affleck as Bruce Wayne, and he's got like gray on the sides.
Okay, see, I was like, wait, they went older and grizzled, and they landed on Ben Affleck?
Whoa, bro.
I'm just saying, he's not older.
Back.
He's not old and grizzled. Like he's not old.
You're
he's
treading on, like, this is, we both love Batfleck. Okay?
Batfleck.
Yeah, I've never even seen him as Batman yet.
Yeah.
Look.
Hey, pause. You do this. You know that?
What?
You bring her in here.
No,
and
I
this crap happens.
It's her first
look at
day.
Me.
Hey.
You do this. You got it?
Do you realize
Let's
that
continue.
You got...
It's her first day back!
She's insulting Batfleck. First day back.
Listen.
Okay, you guys are biased. No, no, no. You guys are biased. You sit here for an hour every single Wednesday and talk about Comics Corner.
Right, so...
Okay,
it's not a bias.
No, it's biased because you have not seen him act as Batman just yet.
Hey, Mitch.
Yeah?
We've seen him as Batman
we
because
have.
They've
in
released
a, in
press
still photos.
Photos.
Yeah, yes. He's not moving yet. What if he has the worst Batman voice ever?
Let me ask you something.
No,
like, what
no,
if it's worse?
No, no, no.
What
There's
if?
There's no way.
Tell me.
No. He could be
if?
Like, hey guys, I'm Batman. And be like, well, at least that's less awkward than
Mitch. Mitch, did you enjoy the Twilight films?
No.
You didn't like them at
no.
all? Did you read the books?
I only read them because second graders at the daycare I was working at the
all
time
right, hang
read
on.
Them.
All right. Yeah, whatever. Did you enjoy the Harry Potter films?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, before those movies came out, were you stoked about them? Were you stoked about the kids being Harry Potter?
Yeah, but you know
now,
what?
Now shut up,
no,
because that's
no.
the same thing. Thank
no.
you. Let's continue.
No, because there aren't eight other Batman movies out already.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Or there weren't eight other Harry Potter movies
blah,
out already.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm
same
glad we
thing.
Did this Throwback Thursday because it's reminding me of a few things. So, that's good. That's good. Well... Thanks
and
for your time.
And it's Zack Snyder. We'll see how it goes.
It's going to be awesome.
You know,
though,
we'll
Zack
see.
Snyder, did you see Watchmen? Did you see Watchmen?
No.
Mm.
Watchmen was a great, great adaption
you wanted,
of the comic.
Yes.
Isn't that the one
Absolutely.
With all the characters? Like
yes.
a billion and a half characters? That's why I didn't watch it, because I won't know who anybody is.
Well,
there
and I was going to say, it was definitely more mature, and it was
yeah.
Alan Moore, who's a little out there. I actually believe that... Why are we doing Comics Corner on Thursday? My bad. That
TBT.
The film was better than the comic, because the ending of the film
yep.
differentiated from the comic, and it made more sense.
It had the same point.
Yes.
But it went about it in a way that made more sense.
And I totally... Say yay to Zack Snyder for that.
I do
because,
too.
Man,
he did a good
you
job.
Know, he did.
I'm
so you're
excited.
Right. Dark Knight Rises, yes.
I'm excited for this Batman Superman thing because I think Zack Snyder makes everything look awesome.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very stylized.
Yes.
That's really cool.
But I'm nervous for him to ruin
Did you ever
this.
See The Town?
Yes.
Did you see Argo?
Yes.
Ben Affleck was incredible.
Yeah, he was.
I think we're good.
He was. Yeah, okay. No. I mean, he's come a long way from Pearl Harbor and. That one.
Hey, whoa.
Dude,
whoa,
Armageddon hey. Was great. Mallrats was great.
Yes.
What is that other one that he did with J-Lo?
Geely.
Yeah.
Mm.
We don't... Hey.
That was after
hey.
All those.
As far as the East is from Geely. The West, okay?
it's like smack dab. It's Geely. Smack dab in the middle of East and West, so careful there.
Careful oh, there. Man. I'm glad you're back, bro.
Yeah.
We missed you here. We got a lot of fans who were like, where's Mitch?
Yeah.
She was on vacay. She's
a
back.
A couple of fans in particular.
10 to 3. You can catch her today.
Here
Coming
I am.
Up, the Aspen Project.
Gosh.
Steam off some morning party.
No.
Static.
Good morning.
Good morning to you there.
Okay, up and at him.
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Stay away from them.
Static Radio.
I did it!
Woo!
He did it, guys! He did it! Yeah. Bomb! Inception.
Bomb!
Tom, you're dreaming.
Still Inception.
You're still dreaming. Or am me.
Or am me.
Guys, the vehicle fire at I-40 East at I-25, it looks like traffic is beginning to slowly progress around that, but it's still showing up on the map, so I don't know if it's cleared. I-25 and I-40 East, right there where they intersect, there was a big accident and a vehicle fire. Earlier, three lanes were blocked. It was crazy. But it looks like it's starting to pick up around there. And then we have construction I-25 in Paseo, normal morning time congestion. And road construction, the roadway is reduced to two lanes, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest. That's your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast on the Calvert campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669.
Oh. Yes.
This morning.
Yes.
We were talking about the alligator.
Yeah.
The alligator that chomped a shark.
It was a saltwater crocodile, but go ahead.
A saltwater crocodile.
Yeah.
Took out a shark. We saw the photo. It's making the rounds on Facebook and everywhere, so if you haven't seen it yet, don't worry. Somebody will share it soon. It's a pretty rad photo. Actually, it's terrifying. And speaking of terrifying, the Discovery Channel.
Yes?
You know, they do Shark Week. Lots of cool shark stuff.
Yeah.
Well, recently they were filming a series of videos of sharks hanging out. Discovery News featured in a compilation of interactions with great whites.
Yeah.
Made from researchers from the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, or HUI.
HUI.
The video shows sharks swimming around the camera and eventually getting tired of the robot being in their space.
Yeah.
Get out of my face, bruh! You're in my face, bruh!
Yeah.
So the sharks did something about it. The sharks tried to eat the underwater robot!
Yes. Yes!
Yeah.
I love it when sharks eat things.
Let's be honest. Recently, you know, it's been crazy with... You see these crazy predators known as paparazzi.
Mm.
They're just swimming around,
yep,
causing Selena Gomez to get in car accidents.
Watch out, Selena!
Taking pictures of Bieber getting punched in the face by Orlando Bloom.
Punch him again, Bloom!
They just make it crazy!
Yeah.
And apparently, that's happening under the sea.
Under the sea!
Under the sea!
That was the cue for Under the Sea, and we missed it. Hang on. Pull it up. We're gonna pause, time out.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Okay, where is it?
And something paparazzi.
No, I haven't said time in yet. Where is it?
Oh.
Okay, ready? Okay. Time in.
And, you know, paparazzi did crazy things, caused Selena Gomez to get in accidents.
Watch out, Selena!
Yeah. Now, they're taking it under the sea. Oh. Yeah. Discovery's channel.
You can twerk to this song.
Discovery Channel's website are featuring the series of videos attacking an underwater vehicle, filming the marine predators in their native habitat.
Yeah.
Apparently, nobody likes the camera shoved in their face. This goes double for great white sharks.
Sharks are not about being photographed.
The shark cam is actually called a REMUS, a remote environmental monitoring unit. I guess they didn't want to call it a REMU. So it's a remote environmental monitoring unit, and they capitalized the S on the end of units.
Hey, listen.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
What if we call a shark right now?
You know, that's such a stellar idea.
We should call a shark right now.
Okay.
Let's...
You want to take a phone call?
Yes.
And then.
Maybe this is a shark.
Maybe. Who knows? Static!
Hey, guys. Matthew from Albuquerque here.
Yeah, different kind. Different kind.
That's
totally different kind.
Matthew, how does it feel to be a shark?
What? I'm not a shark. I'm a hawk.
Vista sharks, right? Didn't you guys?
No, guys, we're the hawks.
Wait. Somebody told me you guys changed your mascot.
Who would win in a fight to the death, a hawk or a shark?
Well, I would have to go with the hawks, personally. We're one tough bird.
Incorrect. The shark would destroy the hawk, Matthew. It's just science.
Now, if you were a freshwater gator... Is that what it was?
It was a saltwater crocodile.
Or if you're a saltwater crocodile, mm-hmm. Are there such things as freshwater gators?
Yeah.
Is there fresh water? Yeah. Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So the gators that we have here in America,
yeah,
mostly freshwater.
Okay.
Saltwater crocodiles are an awesome different
most
animal.
Of them, I think most of them are, I believe, probably freshwater. I would have to look that up. If you guys went online and typed that in.
What is online? You know,
if you type in, are most of the gators in America freshwater or saltwater, you can probably find that out.
Yeah.
You know, guys, with the internet nowadays, you guys can find anything.
What's he talking
That's
about?
Why it's so useful. When I have to do a research project for school, all I have to do is go there and I just type in and help me find the resources I need.
Man, you know what I hate? I hate having to do research papers because my Encyclopedia Britannica collection is a little out of date. I got the 2001 edition. And it's just, I feel like a lot of stuff's probably happened since then.
I was seriously going to say, back in my day, we rocked the Encyclopedia Britannica.
And the worst, Matthew, the worst is when you have to cite your source and you have, you have to write it out correctly. Isn't that the worst?
Yeah, but you know what? Let me tell you something. There is something online that we like to refer to as easy bibliography.
I've never heard
now,
of this.
What easy bibliography is that online, there's tons of websites. There's one I go to personally.
Yeah.
It's easybib.com. It's a free site. All you do is you get the URL from the site you're looking at. Like, say, it could be on Google. You type in, you get the website URL from where you found it. Copy and paste it from there. Put it into the easybib.com thing. Hit site, and it automatically gives you a citation for it.
Okay.
It does MLA, APA, all the formats you might need.
I just feel
What about PTA?
I feel like that's wrong.
Does it rock PTA?
Yeah. What does PTA mean, guys?
It's the Parent Teacher Association.
Yeah.
Oh, PTA. Okay, yeah. We actually have the
does
same
it format
thing
for PTA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a PTA format.
Personally, I'm pretty sure there is a PTA format.
There could be. I'd have to look that up. But before I forget, I actually have some good news for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Well, this yesterday, as you know, I went to get registered in Volcano. I got my electives that I wanted.
Yeah!
Oh, man.
Now,
are you the president or are you the vice president?
Yeah, what were you elected?
Guys, no, neither of those. I actually
treasurer.
Got
oh, yes, I was the treasurer.
Were you the secretary?
No.
Reporter.
Guys,
reporter.
I'm in the DECA club, which is also, we refer to it as Business, Marketing, and Finance 1.
Nice.
And I have Student Aid, which means I'm the Student Aid Assistant for the Business, Communications, and Engineering Office Academy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, so,
Matthew.
Yes?
I put up a picture of a turtle in space.
How does that make you feel?
How does that make me feel? A turtle in space. Now, that's ironic and funny.
It is. Isn't it ironic?
Why is it ironic, don't you think?
Yeah, a little too ironic.
It's like rain on your wedding day.
It's like a turtle in space. That's all I got.
I believe turtles can fly.
Turtles can fly. You know what? I'll believe that when I see chicks flying.
I can put up a picture of
apparently a turtles can fly. Because apparently
turtles can travel through time if they want to.
If they want to.
They've made video games about
in
it.
In circles. Round and round, apparently.
And apparently, I've never been on the news before.
But apparently,
I've never been on live TV before. And apparently, when I got on there, I just freaked out. And I was screaming my head off, and I just freaked out.
Yes.
And apparently,
this scared me to death, apparently.
Apparently, my granddad said that apparently that it was good.
Powerball.
After the Powerball!
You know what, guys? I can't remember when this happened, but it's our thing we refer to as that. It's the real-life thing, you know, New Mexico, this and that.
Nope.
Yeah, you guys ever played the lottery?
No.
Let me tell you something about that lottery, my friend.
No, I'm Baptist.
The lottery is a money pit. It is a trap, Matthew, and if you fall into that trap, you're never going to get out!
Do you ever play
a
video game Pitfall?
Well, guys, let me tell you something.
What?
There's actually a place, actually, I know, well, all these schools actually end up doing this. We call it the New Mexico Lottery Scholarship. It's awarded to students that achieve the certain requirements that we are. Not aware of those requirements, but my middle school principal, Mr. Petita, did tell me that if I keep up my honor roll, I might have the standing chance of gaining the New Mexico Scholarship.
That's good, man. You know what? Scholarships are important. Do it.
We had a lottery type thing at my high school. It was pretty cool. They picked out like two kids from every grade, and the only way that those kids could get new books or reading supplies or pencils or whatever, you had to get into like this arena, and it was the gym. They called it an arena, but I mean, it's Mississippi, so
right,
whatever.
Right.
So you got in there, and you actually had to fight each other to the death.
But...
Really?
Yeah, they called it the Scholastic Games.
Yeah, the Scholastic. Wow,
it was pretty cool. But if you lived, then you got to skip to the next grade
and all the free books for that year.
Yeah,
for all your classmates.
But it was tough, man, because sometimes you just had to kill your friends.
Well, you know what? Nowadays, guys, I'm thankful that I'm in the Albuquerque public school system, which means I get my textbooks for free. But I have to pay for them if I were to damage them, which I've never damaged one single textbook since I've started.
Boom.
That's good.
Oh. Well, Matthew, thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
Can we get you a song request?
Oh, of course. Let's see. This morning, do you guys have anything by Hillsong?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, guys, play me something by Hillsong this morning. I always love their song, Wake, by Hillsong Young and Free. That's a really good song.
All right, man.
We'll do that.
Thank you, guys. I will call you guys tomorrow morning.
Woo! All right, there it is. Matthew from Albuquerque, everybody. We got to take a quick break coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Aspen Project.
Yeah.
Hillsong. And more. Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Careful traffic.
Would you just look at the mess that traffic is right now?
I just saw it. Illuminati, bro.
Good grief.
With all them accidents on the road, you could like mark out a pentagram, I'm telling you. Yep. Albuquerque.
Vehicle fire, I-40 east at I-25, the Big Eye. I want to say there's probably something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Because a little further west, around 12th Street and the I-40 frontage road, 8th Street, that area, it looks like something has happened.
Yeah,
because traffic is very slow.
Yeah.
Also, blah, blah, blah. I-25 in Paseo. You know there's construction and congestion there. We have an accident to report at San Mateo Boulevard South at Candelaria Road. And road construction, the roadway is reduced to two lanes, Rio Bravo Boulevard at Isleta Boulevard Southwest.
Nice.
Yes.
That was good.
Yes.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Coffee shop right here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. Come hang out with us, grab a burrito, some coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah. There you go. Speaking of hanging out, joining us in studio, I forgot what music I did last week, so I'm giving you Huey Lewis. I don't remember. I don't even remember.
I think it was, No. I thought it was Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Probably was.
But I think that's for girls only.
I get so confused. We have so many great guests.
We need to get
Not the least of which you.
We need to get you a good Pat Benatar song.
Ooh.
That's what we need.
Like Love is a Battlefield?
Yeah.
Well, I have like the rock version. Like the, hey, we're rocking, and we're going to cover it.
No, we want the classic. Want the
yeah.
What was the other big Pat Benatar song? Was it...
Must have been love, but it's over now.
No,
that was Roxette, I thought.
Yeah. Okay.
Was it Roxette?
Yeah.
Okay. That was Roxette.
I think.
Yikes.
I don't.
They sound very similar.
Not that you Roxette. Ever listen to them.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
Yeah. Hang on. I'll look up a list. Pat Benatar.
Yes,
Heartbreaker.
Dude. Heartbreaker. Dreammaker.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Can't That'd do that one either. One?
Wait, no.
I want Clay to like me again.
He's not really going to like you. That ship has sailed.
I really do.
Hit me with your best shot.
There it is.
That's the biggest one. That's we belong.
We belong to the night.
There you go.
Doug belongs. Yes. Michelle Schrock.
You can vote?
In studio, Aspen Project, Project Zoe. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
It's Thursday, bruh. So it's time to hang out.
It is.
Yeah. A lot going on?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes, always.
Why are you looking so hip today? What's happening?
I don't know.
She's hip to be square.
I woke up.
You're wearing a sleeveless denim jacket.
Well, yeah.
It's called a vest. Whoa.
Doesn't everyone have a sleeveless denim jacket?
Yeah. Every no. member of New Kids on the Block does. Everyone.
Wow. Every year in the 90s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Totally.
I graduated in the 90s.
Hey, don't
hey,
say
so
that.
Did I. Hey, come on. No bigs.
Yeah, but mine was like at the very beginning.
Ah, yes. Mine was
like
the end.
90.
Practically the 80s then.
Might as well have been. You started your senior year in the 80s.
Well, it's complicated when people ask, you know, did you grow up in the 80s? And I'm like, well, I graduated in 90. So, yeah, I guess I did. Because since I was leaving high school and starting college, yeah, it was the 80s.
You are a man divided between the 80s and 90s.
I was.
You don't know what to do.
It's stressful.
Well, let me ask you this.
A decade divided cannot
That's
stand.
Right.
All right, you ready? Which show do you identify with more?
Okay.
Ooh.
Let me think about this.
Friends?
No.
No, okay. That was like, ready? I was married when
Hang
Friends
on,
came
I got
out.
This. I got this.
Okay.
I got this.
Okay.
Which show do you identify with
okay.
more? Okay. Growing Pains or Full House?
Ooh.
Full House.
Well, that's 90s.
Oh. Yeah. Full House.
It's
well,
because
I had a major crush on John Stamos.
John Stamos.
Yeah. I went to high school with a girl that dated him.
Did we just become best friends?
What is happening? The de-evolution of conversation.
Yeah.
Welcome to it.
Yeah.
That was a really great question, 80s or
90s. That was.
Well, I feel like now, though, because Growing Pains crossed over into the 90s in its late season.
Yeah.
So maybe we should have gone with, what's the Michael J. Fox?
Family Ties.
Family
no,
Ties
hated it.
Versus Full House.
How did you hate Family
hated
Ties?
It. Because Michael J. Fox.
What?
You know, girls watch a show because of the guys in the show.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Growing Pains had Leo DiCaprio.
For a minute?
Yeah. Like 5 seconds.
Yeah. No.
And that was the hottest minute.
And up until maybe the last year, I never really thought he was attractive.
Okay. Wait, Leo or Kirk Cameron?
Okay. Oh, yeah. He still hasn't hit his prime yet.
We got to quit talking about this because Clay's going to be like, what are they talking about?
I know, right?
He's gonna
kill us. So true.
Love you, Clay.
So true.
He's at the gym.
Oh, okay. We're good
cool,
then.
Man.
He'll just be stronger when he destroys us.
He's working out.
The Schroffs, you guys are
he's
amazing.
He's doing push-ups.
He's just doing push-ups, getting ready. Well, it's because he's got 19 girls in his house.
That's
he's
got to
be
do.
Strong, man. You got to be strong when you got girls in the house.
Just six, but 19 is close enough.
Gosh, it's a lot of girls.
I know. In October, we will have 5 teenagers.
Whoa!
Yeah. Wow. Yes. We'll have 13, 14, 15, 17, and 19, or 18. Isn't that nuts?
Yes, you were.
We
insane.
Were thinking. We weren't planning for the
Y'all
future.
Need more
but
strategic.
Talk about this.
I know.
For young parents out there, for people listening who are contemplating whether it's foster care, adoption, or just starting their own family, you guys have a family.
We do.
You kick the crap out of the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
You have like double the amount
Almost.
Of people.
Yeah, 10.
You've got Brady's. The Brady horde.
But we have like two.
Yeah.
We have like two separate. Families. It's weird.
Yeah.
We have 5 older and 5
so
younger.
It's kind of like a story of a man named Clay.
That's right. That's
who,
right.
Who, I forgot how.
Bringing up 3 very lovely girls.
Yeah, but it's like 2. You guys really are the Brady Bunch. You're like families.
Well, kind
like
of.
10 of you.
Except.
Except
well,
you guys
post,
have
yeah.
only always post-marriage. Ever been married.
Right.
Like,
post-marriage.
Yeah. Right.
Because that was a weird story. It's like, wait, so he had 3 kids and
no.
she had 3 kids?
Yeah.
What happened
after the fact?
Right.
All the other families Got came you. In after the fact.
Got you.
I don't
no.
know.
It's like
no.
trying to
6
explain.
Of our 10.
Ugh.
6.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we had 3. We adopted 1.
Okay.
Had another.
Okay.
Because we only have girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I was younger, I just really felt like God was revealing to me that I was going to have 6 boys.
Which is hilarious. Gosh.
Yeah. And then
did he reveal
we adopted-
that to you in like the magic 8-ball? All signs point to yes. I'm having boys.
I can't believe that you don't trust the magic 8-ball.
Oh man, this is a sign.
It just always tells
me
try again.
Did you not hear I grew up in the 80s?
Yeah.
Of course.
Why wasn't that accurate? I don't know.
Every time I roll that magic 8-ball.
Well, the joke
it
is
says, try again. And I'm like,
sorry,
man, that's not a prediction. You're a cop out. 8-ball.
That's right. That's right.
8-ball is also a drug thing. So you have to be careful when you talk about it.
That's right.
I'm talking about the toy that I use to govern my life. That's what
I'm
talking
about.
Anymore? Are they not around anymore?
I haven't seen one.
I haven't
in a while.
Seen one.
But I'll
years.
Tell you what.
That's witchcraft.
They are.
This kid right here used to go to Toys R Us looking for the Dragon Zord from Power Rangers. But in the meantime, I would walk in and there would be an 8-ball and I'd go, shake, 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 shake. Am I going to find it today? Try again.
Dang it. Just tell me yes or no.
It was telling you that it was on the next aisle that you just need to go try again. It wasn't was shake it again.
That it was a toy and I needed to quit making life decisions based on it.
Yep. Yep. I made all my life decisions based upon that and then that stupid little like, okay, give me a number between 1 and 97.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite color? Again?
I don't remember. Mitch would know. Mitch I have no know. Idea. She, her and Celeste still do that. They play MASH daily.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. MASH.
What's MASH?
You don't remember MASH?
I remember the television
Mansion,
series.
Mansion, apartment, shack, or house.
Yes!
I don't know about
Come
that.
Come on.
In Mississippi, we only have two of those.
The shack or the house?
The shack or the apartment.
Oh, man. You don't remember
Oh, you can't even say it then.
Yeah, I know. It was just...
No, because the A comes. As. Yeah, the A comes before the S.
Okay, let's play as. This
as
is going to be
you
quick.
Were, as you were. Yeah. Oh yeah. Man, you don't remember that?
Yeah,
you
I
have
remember.
Two sisters. I have a sister, and so yeah.
I think I remember
MASH
that.
Was
girls,
a
that's all we did.
Of girls.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And didn't you love it when you had to pick your husband?
Right.
And, oh, my goodness.
Number of kids you
That's
were going
to
have.
That's right, yeah.
Mine's framed at home. It was all accurate.
Yeah, I was just going to say mine was so not accurate.
Phoebe Cates, seven kids.
Phoebe
I'm just kidding.
Cates.
No.
No. Chrissy kind of looks like Phoebe Cates.
Boom!
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
what? Coincidence? I don't know.
I don't even want to tell you who I would do on my MASH. You guys would laugh. Because they're like geriatric
John
now.
John Stamos?
No. No.
Was it?
No, my first major crush. I can't even tell what? You.
Burt Reynolds. How did we get here?
Close.
Who was it?
Tom Selleck.
Yep. Tom Selleck!
Yes!
Guys, we are celebrating Tom Selleck today on Team Awesome Morning Party.
Oh, man,
the original crush of
Doesn't
Michelle
Clay
Schwab.
Look just like Tom Selleck?
And at least we now have your theme song.
There it is. That's the one. You just picked it. Write it down, Doug. Michelle Schroff, Magnum P.I.
That is her theme song.
There it is.
Isn't he like in a nursing home right
now?
Oh,
man, come on. That mustache don't quit!
Maybe the rest of his body's in the nursing home, but his mustache
still out on the road,
thriving.
That's right.
Yeah,
no, it's thriving.
He's driving a Ferrari. Oh,
he's
man.
Driving a Fiero.
So foster care and adoption.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Serious stuff, man.
Yes.
Yep.
Tom Selleck has never fostered or adopted children.
What a jerk!
So I didn't marry him.
Uh-huh. That's
so
right.
What you guys did is you picked up the slack.
Yep.
Because of Magnum PI,
that's
and
right.
You adopted 27 children.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What's it like having a small country?
It's lovely, especially
you
when you have older
children
that help a lot.
Yeah. See,
I have great
lovely.
Older kids. I just had to go to a conference the last 4 days, and my older kids, they rock. Hopefully they're listening.
Man, okay.
They're
I was talking
awesome.
To a friend recently about our kids getting older, and... Do you ever get nervous, you know, the question was, do you ever get nervous that, you know, they're going to be dumb like you? And I'm like, sometimes.
Every
I
day.
Mean, you know, of course.
No, every
I
day.
Of, I think of that, but
yeah.
You have 10.
Yeah.
And you have
I have one that's engaged.
I mean, right. So
yeah.
Speak to the parents out there. Any encouragement? I mean, you guys have incredible children. Obviously, they're still human beings and act like morons
Well,
sometimes.
I'm just, I don't know. I think I'm really still learning because I was terrified of the teen years. You
right.
know, the babies and the toddler, even toddler years were a piece of cake for us.
Yeah.
We just,
babies.
We nailed that early part. But once our kids became teenagers, I was an idiot. I'm not even joking.
Like,
yet.
I don't know what to do.
No, I was terrified because I don't think I was a very good teenager. My mother... She's like, you're a good kid. And I think it's PTSD because she just doesn't remember or, you know, she just has a really good protective mechanism. But I don't think I was a very good kid. And
right.
So I'm very cautious. I'm, you know, I'm the mom that's like, yeah, don't be changing your password unless I know it. And, you know, and there's a part of me where I'm like, I feel bad, but it's not because I don't trust them. It's yeah. I don't trust boys.
Right.
Can I say that?
You can say whatever you want.
And
because you're going to.
But I have real, and I have smart girls,
yeah.
And they're grounded. And but I think it's just so easy to be, you know, they, and I blame it all on romantic comedies because mm-hmm. I'm like, we really enjoy watching romantic comedies, and I'm like, what am I teaching my kids?
I call it chick porn.
Yeah, it, you know what? It is.
I really do.
It is.
It's chick porn.
Fake.
Right. It's total fantasy. It's not
right.
really like this. You're putting these ideas and thoughts
That's right.
into your mind that say that this is what love is.
Well, and
then
I can't wait to take my heart and put it with someone else's heart,
right.
whether it's, you know, and I think that's the case for a lot of Christian girls that, you know, want to be pure, and that's kind of the safe route.
Right.
You know, so now I'm going to tell my girls, can't watch chick porn because Steve-O said so.
I didn't say, I'm just saying, you got to be careful.
No, I agree.
Call. There are some that, like, yeah. you know, those movies where, you know, and then they lived happily ever
Nicholas
after.
Sparks.
And it's like, right. Message in a Bottle, Walk to Remember.
Why do you know all of this?
Beauty and the Beast, the Little Mermaid.
Serious?
Aladdin.
Serious?
Lady and the Tramp,
Serious?
Robin Hood, mm-hmm. Sword in the Stone,
Snow White,
Peter Pan, Snow White,
oh, yeah.
Sleeping Beauty,
Cinderella,
Fantasia, Cinderella. Fantasia didn't end so well.
No.
I don't know
no.
if you guys have seen Fantasia.
Yeah.
Awful ending. It just ended with an orchestra and shadows.
Yeah.
That's not how I want my movie to end.
Yeah.
An orchestra and shadows? Yeah, right.
What about Peter Pan? That was okay, right?
Dude.
Huh.
He stayed in his childhood forever. He never grew up.
Mm.
All he did was escape the real world.
It's true.
That's what that whole movie's
Flying
about.
Flying into girls' windows.
Yeah. Creeper
Whoa.
Style.
Oh, crap.
That's frightening.
See, didn't even know. Didn't even put it together.
Stalker.
Didn't even put it together.
Home on
what
the Range.
Weirdo.
Hercules.
Hercules, I don't like.
You don't like?
No, I don't like.
Why not?
But I don't like Hercules.
Wow, you just named... You're right.
Wow.
Saved by the Bell, the entire series. Growing Pains.
90210.
Full House.
And now we know why we have Project Zoe. Because they've watched Disney movies and Nicholas Sparks movies.
Talk about that for real. Let's talk about Project Zoe and what your mission is and what you guys are doing with this.
We're a ministry outreach to young ladies that are at risk between the ages of 13 and 25. And, you know, our desire with Aspen Project and Project Zoe is just to imprint Christ on their hearts.
Yeah.
You know, when they come in, we ask that they have a sponsor. They pick out 3 articles of clothing, 3 accessories, and then we offer workshops and mentorship. And, you know, it's been an absolute blast to hang out with the girls, but to just see the difference that being loved unconditionally, regardless of where you've come from or even where you're at. You know, we don't have any conditions. We work with secular organizations. It doesn't have to be, okay, well, have they had their catechism? Because if they haven't, they can come in. You know, it's, we don't care.
Right.
You know, we really don't care. And we don't care if you know, are confused about your sexuality. That's not our concern. Our concern is that you know that God loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life.
It sounds like you're saying, all ye who are weary, come and you'll show them the dude that will give them rest.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. All, like, not just the like ones that are cleaned up.
No.
I like that concept.
You know, for us, we've discovered that the dirtier the fish, the better.
Oh.
You know, when they come in, we're so excited about just seeing what God can do. Because for us, it's not us. I mean, they leave and we're all exhausted after an hour and a half appointment because the girls have exhausted us. It's because every preconceived idea, you know, we get a little profile. We don't get a lot of personal information, but just a little profile on the girls before they come. So, you know, we pray it up and we hope we go into it wisely. But it's amazing because there's been yet one time that a girl's left and we've been like, what a jerk. You know, it's always, oh my goodness gracious, she totally touched my heart. Did you hear what she said about this? And did you know? And then we pray for the girl and you know, we try to stay in touch with them or just give them a call, let them know when our workshops are coming up. And I want to say we've probably had a 90% repeat where they'll come back, get more clothes, or come in for workshops. And we've got a ton of just unbelievable volunteers. You know, we've got women that have never had children that are like, I want to come. I want to help.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, but don't you want to like hold some babies? I mean, teenagers are hard.
Yeah.
But these young ladies, I'm shocked to think that they've come from such a rough background and that they're so gracious. And I have to go, why are they so gracious? Well, they've probably never been given.
Yeah.
New clothes, doted over.
Imagine
put
if the church
on.
Acted that way. It's so amazing because you talk about these amazing experiences, and that's it.
I am a representative,
right?
I am.
We are, and I think about the fact that
I am the lip gloss of the church.
You were talking about these girls that come in the door, and you have yet to have that crazy experience where you say, "What a jerk!" Because when you're broken, when you just kind of have nothing left, or you just don't care, maybe, you don't have to put on a facade.
Nope.
And yet it seems like, I know for me personally, there are times where it's like, how you doing? I'm like, man, I'm so great.
Yeah.
God is so good, right? Okay, yeah. I'll see you later. And I'm like hurting that day, or I'm broken, or I'm having a bad day. I still get
Couldn't
dirty.
Couldn't we learn something from unbelievers in the sense of, this is, you know what?
Transparency. Just
I am a mess today, and
it's okay to have
bad days.
Please
come alongside me and encourage me. Let me know that God hasn't left me and that he's never going to leave me and that he loves me. Because you're right. You're absolutely right. It's so funny because my daughter is writing this blog. And it's been a great asset as far as Project Zoe goes, because it's a great blog for us to repost on Zoe. And she talks, that's her latest blog, is how as believers, particularly teenage girls, can be so fake. You know, to where we can't be honest with each other that we're struggling, or that, you know, I'm really having a hard time with lust, or, you know, I've been, and girls struggle with the same things boys do. I don't care what anyone says. Right. They do. Right. It's just not as obvious, and it's more acceptable, I think. You know, a girl can sit around and talk about a guy all day long, but if a guy's talking about a girl, we're like, oh my goodness, he needs intervention, you know?
Right.
So, you know, but in her blog, she does. She talks about, oh, what's going on? I'll pray for you. And it's more of a, I want to really get your business so I can gossip about you. And, you know, and how important it is that we're real with each other, and that we, when someone comes and confides in us, you know what? It's a confidence that they trust us. And man, dude, if you're out gossiping about your friends, you know, your friends are gossiping about you.
Man, I am so guilty of being the, hey, I'll pray for you guy. Last night, I found out a good friend of mine was sick and actually had to go to the emergency room. So I immediately texted him, dude, you know, just heard, are you okay? Totally praying for you.
Right.
Sent the text and sat there for a second, and then realized I didn't pray for him. And I said, Chrissy, come here!
Well, you know what?
We need to pray right now, because I just told this dude I was praying for him, and I wasn't praying for him.
Yeah.
I need to pray for him right now in this moment.
My husband is so good at that, because there are times when people come up to him, and I don't know, my husband has this personality that...
Clay's the man.
No, I don't know what it is, but he exudes... like, there's a magnetic attraction that if someone's hurting, they come to him.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be.
It's because he's not abrasive, and he's not a person. I mean, knowing him personally, he's a guy that you can approach and say, dude, I'm dealing with this right now. I need prayer. And
he understands the power of
intercessory prayer. Mm-hmm. We were talking about this recently, that the power of prayer and that intercessory prayer when you're broken, or you're just... Mm-hmm. Or even you're in a moment where I don't, you know what, I don't even care right now. I know that I'm hurting. I know I'm being an idiot. But I just don't care in this moment. Yeah. Intercessory prayer is so powerful.
And he's like, he hurts when someone else is hurting. Yeah. And for him, and he's even, and it's like, I have to go bring it to the foot of the cross because I'll carry it.
Yeah.
You know, so when someone comes and asks me to pray for them, it's like, dude, we're praying right now because I'm not bringing this with me. You know, and it's not a selfish thing. It's more of... this needs to be done because I will walk away and forget, or it's on my back all day long and I'm looking for solutions for you, because he is a problem solver.
Right.
He really is. I mean, dude, I don't ever ask him for any advice when it comes to that.
Of course.
I shouldn't say advice.
We want to fix it immediately.
It's my goodness.
Okay, and you don't take the moment to just hurt with that person in the moment and grieve the situation.
Wait a minute. What do you mean take a moment and hurt? Maybe I just want to unload on you. poor Clay. Maybe he just can't handle it anymore.
Well, I think that's why, I mean, God created us male and female, right? And so there are times where Chrissy, she just wants to be able to spout her day. maybe she had a bad day and she just wants to tell me about it. And I'm immediately like, okay, baby, here's what we do. All right, you hire this person, we're going to do this, we'll take care of this, you got this, boom, problem solved. You're feeling better, right?
Stop.
And it's like, no, I just, you're my husband. I just want to tell you about my day. And I'm like, I know. And I am your husband. So I'm fixing everything right now in real time.
Yeah.
Who else does this?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Let's get her done right now.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come
it's on. Amazing.
It is. And then sometimes I take it as, oh, I better not go back and tell him the same problem. Because if I didn't fix it, I'm going to hear the, babe.
What
babe.
If you just fix it?
What have you done?
Yeah.
I'm like,
we're dudes.
Oh,
that's how we are.
Sorry.
You see something, you're just like, oh, okay, we'll just grab the wrench. I mean, just tighten it. I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah, but he's real good like that. you know, when it comes down to it, let's pray it up. Yeah. Let's, you know, or he'll come home from work and say, this is what's going on, this couple. Because it's really cool because there's some of the folks that he works with that are adopting.
Yeah.
And
see, that's awesome.
It is. And one of his coworkers just came back from Uganda. They adopted a little boy. And, you know, they had like 3 failed adoptions before this, but they did not give up. And
wow.
Now they have this amazing little boy in their home. And you just go, that is totally God. Because yeah. That little boy, I mean, if I were to play God for a moment and say, oh, okay, well, the first kid that they were going to adopt would be in their home, but this kid wouldn't have had a mom and a dad, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just so cool how you see God's hand in, you know, in another family's life that's adopting, and you're able to go, wow, that is so Christ.
Right.
How he seeks those that are lost and just, okay, you're it.
Yeah.
You know, the 99.
Yeah.
He goes and seeks that one. And I think about that. And this conference that I went to, you know, the guy, it was on education. And, of course, it was on family. And, you know, he was talking a lot about fostering and adopting and how important that is to just, that's the church. That's what we should be doing. You know, we should be fostering kids. We should be adopting. We should be mentoring them.
Mm-hmm.
We should be loving on our nieces and nephews, because Satan's ploy is to divide the family, you know, and God wants to bring us all together. And I just see so many families that are hurting. And, you know, and these young ladies that are coming into Zoe, I mean, they had an aunt that said, dude, I know your mom's like not doing very well right now, so I'm going to step in.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What a difference that would make in
Absolutely.
That child's life.
Yeah.
You know, and it is life and death. It truly is when we're looking at the eternal scheme of things, and we need to be able to step up. There are times that, you know, I meet folks and like, yeah, I don't talk to my family, but I want to volunteer. And I'm like, okay. Well, all right, maybe your niece can come and help, or your daughter, or, you know, because when you start coming together and even helping someone else, it builds that relationship. Because I can see me and my girls, dude, we'll be arguing and I'm like, get in the car. We're going to do an appointment at Zoe. Shut up. You know? And we get there, and afterward, we're like, I'm so sorry.
I love you. So much.
I love you.
Why did I say that? I don't know.
I was so mean to you.
That's awesome.
And then I say, I forgive you.
Oh, my gosh.
Just kidding.
That's good.
No, strong, but seriously, strong. As girls, that's, you know, we bond. We,
yeah.
You know, when we're helping someone, I mean, we're moms, we're nurturers. We want to help someone. And it's so cool how, as women, we just draw closer to each other when we can do that.
Right.
You know, even if it's each other or someone else. So get your girlfriends together. Come to Zoe.
You
know, we just had a volunteer day. A youth group came in last Saturday, and it was awesome. We got like a month's worth of steaming done.
Wow.
Dude.
Wow.
And they were girls. I want to say they were between the ages of 12 and 15.
That's cool.
They worked their tails off. They were from Catalyst Church in Rio Rancho.
Okay.
They were awesome.
That's rad.
And Laura Chambers, she's the Bible study leader. And what she did was she got these girls together and did like a little Bible study on purity. And they all came at the very end of their Bible study and helped. And we were like, oh my gosh, check these girls out. Steaming and redoing the stock room. And it was awesome. And they were only there for, I want to say, 3 hours.
That's cool.
And it was. It was awesome. And, you know, if there's a, you know, youth group out there, a young ladies Bible study that would like to come in and do that, please call us, inbox us. You know, we would love to have you.
We posted all the information on our Facebook page, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Michelle Schroff with us from Project Zoe and the Aspen Project. So we've talked about prayer a little bit. We've talked about how people can get involved. So volunteers, what are you guys looking for? How can we, as
clothes.
People...
We're always looking for clothes.
Okay.
I mean, truly, donations are always low because since we're having the repeat girls coming through, we're not even so much focused on new clients. We're trying to stay with the girls that have been through.
Okay.
And this, we're kind of... I don't know. We've kind of recreated the wheel because this is something that, or not recreated, we created. There's no other Project Zoe. So we have no idea. Oh my goodness. These girls are coming back in for 3 more articles because they are slamming our workshops.
That's awesome. They are coming through
and they're learning. You know, we've had some girls that have been in the reintegration centers here in town and they've gone back home already. So new girls have come in, and, you know, we love it. We absolutely love it. And we do have some girls that are not so inclined to the more feminine thing. So, you know, if there are some ladies out there that have some ideas on what we could do in that respect, as far as to encourage, you know, just a, you know, Titus Two Women. That if I could just find some more of those that, you know, like to make jewelry or paint or art. You know, I have a girl that's going to do an art workshop, and that's our next workshop that's coming up. So that they, you know, it's not all about makeup and hair.
Right.
So
that's good.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
It's very important.
You want to be as inclusive as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially when we're dealing with juvenile detention. You know, there's a lot of girls that are confused about their sexuality. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to come off like, oh, you don't like hair and makeup? You're not welcome here.
Right.
Yeah. And
what
the
do
fact,
you mean?
I think the fact of the matter
what's wrong
is
with you?
Not everybody. You know, even though we should all make an effort to be a person that can that could help anyone, not everybody's quite there yet.
Right.
So it's important for those people in the body that are totally cool with that to step up and help out.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm reading a book right now. It's called Dirty Faith.
You can read?
Well.
Shocking.
It's like a fourth grade
level. Did they teach you that at Project Zoe?
You know what?
I might have a problem with your ministry. I don't think girls are supposed to read.
Girls are not allowed to read.
We can give as many clothes as we want. But I'm going to tell you right now.
Oh, man, we have this great conversation.
I know.
And then Matt goes and says something like that.
I know.
And totally redeems himself.
That's what I'm about. Redeeming convos. That's why I'm here. I'm
kidding. Will not be teaching workshops.
Well, we're dudes. So.
What book is it?
It's called Dirty Faith. Don't ask me the author, but it is such an awesome book. It's talking about sharing Christ with the least of these, you know, and how oftentimes, and it's funny because the guy's from the South and he talks about just the faith of a lot of folks, and I don't want to say people in the South, but folks in the South just like, you know, hey, God has blessed me, so I need to bless others. And it's like, that's not really how it's supposed to be. Mm. It's not like, oh, well, I'm just going to give from my, you know, what God has overflowingly blessed me with.
Give out of abundance.
Yeah, that's not.
You should just give anyway.
Exactly. And he talks about, actually, it's based in Brazil. So, yeah, street kids, and it's. I'm not joking. The first
What's
chapter,
it called? Dirty Faith.
Dirty Faith.
All right, that's
and cool. It's, you know, prostitutes, at-risk kids. Mm. I mean, things that we think in America we are just inundated with. Brazil, I'm sorry, they have like their own, you know, community of children.
Yeah, it's so true because when we give only out of our abundance, and this is a lesson that I learn every single day. But when you only give out of your abundance, what you're basically doing is you're practicing that whole thing where it's like you have to be perfect for God before you can get saved.
Mm.
It's a different topic, but it's the same idea. Right. Because when you only give out of abundance, you are bowing down to money.
That's
because
because
you're saying, as long as I have enough money to do this.
That's right.
And the reason God tells us to give, one of the reasons, you know, other than it glorifying Him, is that when it makes money not your God. It forces money to not be your God because then you're depending on the real God to provide for
you. We could do like an entire show on this because we see that so much with Aspen Project. A lot of a huge stumbling block for folks is that, oh, well, I only have a 3-bedroom house and I have 2 kids and they have to have their own room and they have a, you know, and of course, that's fine if some people feel that that is absolutely necessary. But, you know, you have a Lexus and a Range Rover and, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, we're tapped. We don't have.
So what you really should be saying is we're not comfortable with helping other people.
Exactly.
Right now.
Well, and what you and really, it's a heart issue. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a matter of, do I really need these, you know, vehicles that are $50,000 in order to be happy?
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, is it your God? And I in America, I'm sorry.
Money is our sneaky God.
Well,
it
I mean, it takes you back. I always go back when we talk money. I always go back to Dave Ramsey and everything I learned through, you know, financial peace. But he talks a lot about that in Proverbs where it says that, you know, the borrower is slave to the lender. And so you don't think about those things, but you become a slave to a car payment, a mortgage, to, you know, a credit card bill, to all these things in your life that you have that in turn you are basically a slave to because month in and month out, you have to give those.
Right.
And so you're like, well, I have to do this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you said, you don't have to have that car. You don't you don't have to
and
have
that. And I'm
not
saying you need to go sell your car and buy a Pinto.
Right.
I mean, it's in if the money is what's keeping you from
doing
it.
If you do, I have a 99 Subaru that if... I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
But it's, I mean, when you seriously think about what does God want from us? Yeah. You know, he wants us completely.
He wants our everything. Yeah.
He wants us completely and not, oh, yeah, well, okay, you can have my abundance. You can have my, what you've, by the way, already given me.
It's funny. This is tying into Theology Thursday. We're going to have a big discussion coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with Pastors Jarrett Pietro and Brian Nixon about some theology that's come about with the band Gungor.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because in it he makes statements about his faith and believing in Jesus, and he doesn't care what you say, he cares what you do.
Right.
So
it's not true that he's an agnostic then. Okay.
No. He's got a church. He's got a church in Denver, and that was his big thing. So he says some interesting things in there, which of course
it's definitely true that he does not believe in Orthodox. Right. What we would call Orthodox Christianity.
Okay.
That's true. We're going to talk about it.
He kind of brushes, I don't want to say brushes aside, but Genesis to him is a poem, and therefore, you know, the whether it's Noah's Ark, whether it's a literal 6 days, those are things that he doesn't necessarily die on a hill for. He does not necessarily believe in those things.
Uh-huh.
So it was interesting, some of the things he's saying. We're definitely going to dive into that in the 9 o'clock
hour. Is he going to be on the show?
No. We want to get him on the show. We had Lisa on the show, Lisa Gunger, his wife, who started the church with him.
Right.
Fantastic girl. We have that interview. I don't. We
what?
Have that. That was the first time we talked to them. We have that interview at mystaticradio.com. Thank you. I really don't. I wish.
Doug's the guy that knows.
Wow, I can't wait.
Mystaticradio.com. Yeah. So Brian Nixon, he's going to come
so
in here.
Excited.
We haven't even told him what we're talking about yet. We're just going to hit him in the face with it because that's how I do.
But Brian's the man.
He really is. So let's hope he can handle it. All right. If you want to get involved with Project Zoe, check it. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. We posted all the information there. You can go direct to their website. Project-zoe.org, right?
Yes.
Yep. There you go.
That's it.
Michelle Schroff. You're awesome.
No.
You try.
Yeah.
All right, we'll keep
going. Love is a battlefield.
Coming back. It is Theology Thursday, and if you were one of the probably hundreds of thousands of people.
It's definitely going around.
Who have read the article that was circulating Facebook yesterday about Gungor and his heresy. Or his faith, if you will. Depends on the perspective you're looking at it. We're going to talk about it in depth on the way.
It'll be
right
a good
back.
One.
All right. Alex Clare, some Fiction Family, and Theology Thursday. See you awesome morning party.
Now.
Static.
What are you talking about?
What kind of talk is this anyway?
Theology Thursday with Steve-O and Mateo. Featuring pastors Brian Nixon and Jarrett Pietro.
Here it comes.
Let's begin.
Oh, snap! That's how I'm starting it. Did you guys think I was going to cuss?
Yeah.
Everybody just shocked.
Nobody thought you were going to cuss.
Looked at me.
Doug
I didn't.
Okay, good.
So what's up about the Guardians of Galaxy? What?
Oh,
come on now. A little raccoon
right
running
there?
Around.
Oh,
nah, I'm just
gosh,
kidding.
Making me
it's
so
great
mad.
To be here.
It's
I
great
think
to
I've been
you.
Gone for...
ever?
Like maybe, is it two? No, it wasn't two Thursdays. It was one.
Maybe, I don't know. Feels like you've been gone
but I'm tan now.
Hey.
You know what?
Where'd you still go? Feels like the first time together.
I went
feels
to
like
the coast of California.
Really?
Yeah.
California. Wait, which part did you go to, like Monterey?
I actually went to a place that has the word Santa in it.
Ah, Santa Clara.
Yeah,
Santa
Maria. Close.
Santa Barbara.
Santa Ana.
I actually stayed
Santana.
At this place called Neverland.
Oh, good!
Yeah.
Neverland Ranch. That's
hey,
good.
Michael Jackson's alive, isn't he? I
knew
it.
I knew it.
I knew
you
it.
You know what? Yep. I really believe it.
Stop it. That's
We
dumb.
Should do Theology
oh
Thursday
my gosh.
On...
There's no theology there. He's dead. There's
Are
there was
you
like a
sure?
trial, and there was a doctor, and it was
man.
Like legal stuff.
Oh, man. I just got to be honest.
Guys.
I've been watching these... I just been watching this Netflix stuff.
That was
on,
a music
on unsealed
video.
Conspiracy
that was a
theories.
Music video.
Yeah.
No, I've seen that show.
Isn't that great?
Gosh.
I love it.
I love it.
I mean
Phoenix.
That's like my wife thinks I'm going crazy, but you know what? There's a conspiracy.
There is.
Crazy's a cool way to be, man.
I was gonna remember. Hey, Phoenix,
hey, you gotta switch
the show.
What's that? Oh, what conspiracy?
We were doing the show,
what's
he was
that?
Pseudo normal.
What's that? Sorry. I got, hey.
Jared comes back and he's like, MJ's alive!
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, boom, let's go!
Hey, sorry, I was actually doing some work on the email, and I was responding to John Warwick Montgomery, who is really one of my favorite early apologists, not early like in the early church, but you know, the last 30 years.
Sorry?
And we're very excited because coming in October, John Warwick Montgomery is going to be at... Calvary Knob Hill.
Oh, cool.
And so we're very, very excited. If everything is orchestrated and works out, he's going to be here and talking about real deal issues. So if you are a seeker,
like Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Christian out there who wants to, you know, get equipped, this guy's the real deal. So we're very excited. So anyway, that's what I was paying attention to was my email.
Speaking of real deal, I'm very excited to be a part of this weekend. Erwin Lutzer will be here for the weekend services, man. And we're doing something very special. Great. Our sister station, 107.1 KNKT, not only there's going to be a rad interview after service, there's going to be an hour-long Q&A live session that I'm really, really stoked to be here for.
Erwin Lutzer, as you know, Steve-O, is one of the great Christian leaders of the past 30 years.
Yeah.
He took the church over, Moody, one of the most historic evangelical churches in the country.
Yeah.
He took it over from Warren Wiersbe.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those situations.
Talk about a lineup.
Yeah. It really is a pretty amazing opportunity for the Christians in New Mexico to come hear one of the great evangelical Bible teachers.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me say, I've been a fan of Erwin for a long time, and I when it comes to like history of, he wrote a book. I know it's a little different than his other stuff on Hitler's cross.
Wow,
I think I mentioned it before, but it gives the history of where the church was. And it was a challenge, like, where was the church in Germany during the Third Reich?
That. Yeah.
Fascinating book. I may have read it like 12 times. I go back and I read it, but the parallel of that in America is astounding. But anyways, Erwin Lutzer, this weekend, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to just be amazing.
Yeah, and one of the beautiful things about, you know, serving at a large church is the opportunities afforded not to just the body at Calvary, but the larger body of Christians, you know, irregardless of what denomination, to come together and hear quality Christian leaders. So we do invite people out this weekend to hear Dr. Erwin Lutzer. He not only is going to be speaking at all the services, he's doing a book signing after the third service on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing the radio here with Steve Ojeder and others on Saturday night.
Yeah.
So it really is a great opportunity for people to come and be blessed.
I'm really looking forward
That's
to it.
That's your last name? I'm just kidding.
Yes, Jedder.
Jedder. It's pronounced Jedi.
Jedder.
New Mexico.
Okay.
Now, moving on. It is Theology Thursday. Phone lines are open 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can also catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/MyStaticRadio. Or email us, studio@MyStaticRadio.com. We thought we'd kick it off. We teased this earlier. Going to be talking a little bit about Gungor. Now, you mentioned, where was the church? Erwin Lutzer's book, Hitler's Cross. Right now, the church is on Facebook because I have seen the shares. I don't even have a Facebook. Yesterday, I, through my wife, saw the crazy amounts of shares of an article that released yesterday. You know, anytime there's
pretty
controversy.
Pretty interesting, right?
Yeah, anytime there's controversy with a Christian artist, it seems it makes the rounds immediately on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure a lot of our audience has either read this or saw it and it just immediately went, well, Gungor's
not. Maybe for those who don't know who Gungor is, why don't you tell our listening audience who Gungor is, and then you could get into this article.
Yeah, Michael and Lisa Gungor, they are a married couple. They are worship leaders. They served at a church for, I can't even remember how many years as worship leaders. They then branched out, started their own church. They're an artist we play here on Static Radio. Mm-hmm. We had Lisa on this last year when she came through, played the Lobo Theater. Gungor played Calvary Knob Hill.
That's right.
They're neighbors. Of ours, meaning they're from Denver.
They're
just up the freeway.
Up the road in Denver, they have I was going to say a Bible-believing church, but now that's up for quote-unquote interpretation. There's the original article! Mm-hmm. Michael Gungor sat down with the Oakland Press and did an interview.
Interesting thing. This article came out late last year.
It's just funny,
That's
right?
how it happens.
Well,
same thing
then,
happened. What was the other one we did? The Tim Lambesis article that came out so long ago. And then
people just caught on.
Well, let's see. World Mag did an article on it yesterday. ChristianNews.net did an article on it. ChristianPost.com did an article on it. Now, so because of that, prior, Gungor had written down a What Do We Believe on his blog. I have that in its entirety, which is pretty lengthy. But The gist of it is this. Depending upon the... Isn't it always like this? Depending upon the news outlet that covered it, he's either agnostic now, or he doesn't believe in the Bible. I think somehow... I don't know Christian News Network, but somehow theirs seemed the least biased, if you will, of the ones I had read. Their title of the article was "Award-Winning Worship Leader Generates Controversy by Rejecting Genesis as Literal." Now, gentlemen, I don't know how versed you are in this, if you've read the article in its entirety.
I haven't, but I'm very versed in the different interpretations of Genesis.
Yes.
So.
Yeah,
so,
doesn't it go something like a lot of the Old Testament they view as a story rather than fact.
And so basically, depending upon the article, which the one I saw most on Facebook, which was the most damaging, quote unquote, was Dove Award-winning Gunger rattles Christian world with revelation. They don't believe the Bible literally. That was their title, not from Gunger's mouth. It was citing an interview back in what you said about a year ago.
Yeah.
Michael Gunger, pastor's son from Wisconsin, talked about his faith and in an article that he released in February titled, "What Do We Believe?" Now, the whole article, as I said, is at Gunger's website, which I believe is Gungor Music. GungorMusic.com. There's a section called "What Do We Believe?" And he talks about what they actually believe. Of course, now, as you said, Teo, Christian media being about a year behind finally picked up on it. He said, "Over the last year, I've had so many questions asked to me about what I believe. Just tonight, I had a conversation with someone extremely close to me that said he wouldn't consider me a Christian anymore." He was explaining this in his post, and he said, quote, "Why? Not because of my life, not because my life looks like Jesus or doesn't look like Jesus, but because my lack of ability to nail down all the words and concepts of what I exactly believe. Because I've lost so many of the unconscious assumptions that I used to have and have no ability to unsee what I've seen. I have no more ability to believe, for example, that the first people on earth were a couple named Adam and Eve that lived 6,000 years ago. I have no ability to believe that there was a flood that covered all the highest mountains on the world only 4,000 years ago, and that all of the animal species that exist today are here because they were carried on an ark and then somehow walked or flew around the world from a mountain in the Middle East after the water dried up. I have no more ability to believe these things than I do to believe in Santa Claus, or to not believe in gravity. But I have a choice on what to do with these unbeliefs. I could either throw out those stories as lies, or I could find some value in them as stories." He said, "If you try to find some value in them as stories, there will be people that say to you, you aren't a Christian anymore because you don't believe the Bible is true or authoritative. And even if you try to argue that you think there is a truth to the stories, not just in a historical sense, that doesn't matter. I'm sorry, just not in a historical sense, that doesn't matter. To some people, you're denying the truth of a 6,000-year-old earth with naked people in a garden eating an apple being responsible for the death of dinosaurs. It's the same thing as you nailing Jesus to the cross. You become a part of them, the deniers of God's word." So in conclusion, he said what he did believe.
Yeah.
And here's what he says. "I've decided to think about my beliefs in terms of how I live rather than what my unconscious assumptions are. There are lots of people that have all sorts of beautiful beliefs that live really awful lives. If I'm on the side of a road bleeding, I don't care if the priest or the Levite have beautiful beliefs about the poor and the hurting. Give me the Samaritan, the heretic, the outsider who may have the quote-unquote wrong beliefs and words and concepts, but actually lives out the right beliefs by stopping and helping me. That's the kind of belief I'm interested in at this point. So what do I believe? Look at my life. That's what I believe."
Yeah.
"That's the kind of belief I'm interested in for my friends as well. I don't care about their words or unconscious assumptions, even though they can make for some enjoyable pub conversation. I care about what kind of lives they live. Do they believe in the underdog, or do they believe in the underdog? Do they believe in loving their neighbor, or do they believe by loving their neighbor?"
Wow. Yeah. Let me just start off by saying there's a lot here to unpack.
There's so much.
Sure.
And because it focused on Genesis, let's give our listeners the three overarching ways people approach Genesis.
Beautiful.
And by doing so, you will see that he's not saying anything extraordinarily out of the ordinary. There are lots of Christians who believe what he believes. He's just in a particular camp. And then we could go on from there. But the three major approaches to the book of Genesis. The first is a literal interpretation of Genesis, and they take the book of Genesis literally. Now, when we say that, we have to mention that there are sub-camps of the literalist vantage point. You have those who believe in a literal young earth, 6 days, 10,000 years old. You have the progressive day-age theory. And then you've got a whole host of other theories that correspond to a literalist approach. But generally speaking, the literalist approach says that Genesis is a historical book that can be trusted and relied upon. Mm-hmm. The second view is an allegorical or figurative interpretation of Genesis. And these folks don't look at Genesis necessarily as a literal historical book, but more akin to an allegory, something that is figurative, something that's telling a bigger story or a larger narrative about deeper truths of God's nature. So the allegorical or figurative approach, they're coming to the Bible not so much to say, did it happen in 6 days, but what's the bigger picture? What is Genesis really trying to say here? What is the author of Genesis really trying to say? So it's more of an allegorical figurative. Now, the third overarching group that interprets Genesis is what we would call from a mythological or creation myth. And so unlike the allegorical and the literalist, they literally just see it as a myth, that there really isn't that much truth, that it was just the creation myth from a particular group in the world, aka the Hebrews. And this is their story, just like Native Americans have their story, the Samaritans have their story, Africans have their story, the Europeans have their story. This is just one story in the Parthenon of creation stories. So they view it, you know, honestly, people who view it from this vantage point see the Genesis story just like people would see the Greek mythology. So those are the three overarching. Now, let me just say, every one of those schools of thought have sub-branches, but generally you have the literalists, you have the allegoric, you know, mode of interpretation, and then you have the mythological thing. So when I hear something like this about Gungor, I'm not surprised because they're not saying anything that's new.
Right.
What's shocking, I think, to some people is that people who are in the literalist camp go, "Oh my gosh, you're not part of our camp." Really, what he's trying to say is he's probably, and again, I'd have to sit down and talk with him, he's probably more in the allegorical camp, meaning he's seeing the larger narrative. It may have some truth to it. It may have a general timeline that's accurate, but generally speaking, there's a bigger, deeper mode of interpretation at work when you approach Genesis. Yeah. So for them, it's like, okay, I don't necessarily believe in the literal Adam. I don't believe in all this type of stuff. But really what the author of Genesis was trying to say is something grander, something more big. So what he's saying isn't surprising to me.
Yeah, you know, even quoting from them, and I just want to quote this.
This is brand new. This is today. He actually, because of the, even though it was months ago, because of the controversy, I love this when artists immediately go, "Hey, man, this warrants a response. Do I need to respond?
To clarify.
No, but I want to, for conscience sake." So he wrote a blog post today.
Yeah, and you know what he says is, you know, the question has come up. He says, "Do I believe that God exists?" Yes, he says that. "Do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" Absolutely. "Do I believe that Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness?" Yes. "Do I believe that God literally drowned every living creature 5,000 years ago in a global flood, and people were living on a boat?" He says, "No, I do not. And this is why I don't." And then he goes on to explain, because science and rational thought. And then he begins to, talk about being a literalist, you know, when you think about science and such. So my thought, you know, it really, if you begin to narrow down what they're actually saying, I mean, he's declaring that he believes that Christ, was real.
We've had this conversation on Theology Thursday.
So to me, it almost is where, when it comes to the flood, it's sounding like that is where, you know, that's where the controversy is, that it's based more on the flood issue. But, you know, with that said, you know, again, a literal
you know, view on Scripture, you would say, looking at Genesis, you have to take it all. All Scripture is profitable. And so, you know, the flood, talking about Adam and Eve, it all has a thread to the person of Christ. And so that is where the controversy is, because if you don't believe something in the past that builds up to the person of Christ, that's where you go, well, why would you believe in the resurrection?
And
you know what I mean?
I think that's what a literalist would say, because my thought process this morning, because Tay and I have been talking about this throughout the morning, because it's been a fun conversation. And so then the question arises, okay, so Genesis isn't literal. As he says somewhere else in his article, what he believes as a musician, how could he not see it as anything other than a poem? He says it's elegantly written. It's a beautiful poem. That's the way he takes the book of Genesis. And so then we started talking about Jesus. And in fact, he talks about that. The biblical literalist talks about science and rational and then miraculous events in the Bible, i.e. Jesus performing miracles. And he says there's a big difference between individual instances and experiences of the miraculous in a globally and globally scaled matters of science and history. So he's trying to separate those. But my big question, and maybe because we've had this conversation about the flood or Genesis, literal, allegorical, is this. So we talk about Jesus, and his big thing is this. He started a church, and his care is Jesus. He cares more about Jesus. He doesn't care who walks through the doors of his church. He had a quote in there about people walking into his church and just serving them and being Christ to them. But does that take away with this argument? Does that take away the, okay, well, you know, if Adam's not real, then how can, so there are times in the New Testament where it says, right, just through one man, Adam, sin entered the world.
Sure.
One man, Jesus, you know, that's
right.
He conquered death through that one man, like he defeated death for us. Would that negate that if you don't believe Adam was literally real?
Personally, I believe so. I think there are biblical theological implications. If you dismiss a literal person, Adam, you then have a lot of biblical question marks throughout the whole New Testament.
Absolutely.
Particularly when you deal with Paul. But Jesus himself referenced back to elements in the book of Genesis. Jesus obviously quoted the most from the book of Leviticus and Psalms, but there are references and allusions that Jesus did. But again, just because Jesus makes reference or alludes to a certain book doesn't necessarily give us Jesus's hermeneutic, how he interpreted that particular book, because a lot of people do quote from poems and quote from stories and may not believe that they're literal. But it seems, by all intents and purposes, that Jesus had a literalist view of the book of Genesis, as well as other books of the Old Testament. So that being the case, just to say I'm a Jesus-only guy, that sounds cool, and it sounds like, wow, that's great. But once you say that, then you're going to have to follow that train where it leads. And Jesus leads back to the Old Testament and what appears to be a literalist interpretation of the Old Testament.
Okay. It's interesting. All right. 505-338-3700, the phone number if you'd like to chime in. Phone line open. We have one phone line available, so let's get out to some phone calls here. 505-338-3700. It's Theology Thursday. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey.
Hola.
Hey, I have a comment from Gunger. Really quick, it's not a question, but how can he not believe in the flood when he can believe in, which is the greatest miracle, in my opinion, in Genesis 1:1, when in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? How can he not believe in the flood and then believe in that?
For me, that would be a question to Michael.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but I can't speak for him.
I don't think he doesn't believe in the flood. What he's saying is he believes more. My understanding, he doesn't necessarily believe that it covered the whole earth. There are those who believe that it was more localized.
Yes.
So I I'm not trying to defend him, but I think he's saying, I can't understand how God would flood the entire world
and
every
that.
Living creature. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. But I would say this. You know, there is, in my opinion, again, there's just too much ample evidence
the Earth was in a different formation, I think, than what we see today, that it was covered to the highest peak. And it does say that repeatedly in Genesis that every mountaintop was covered. And even above that mountaintop, it even alludes to in Genesis. So, yes, I would argue with that and say, yeah, it was a universal flood because of these, you know, eight people in an ark. But there were animals with him. So not every living creature died. There were living creatures still that are alive, obviously, that are on the earth today. So, but I would agree, too. Yeah, the greatest miracle is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I think it all begins with Genesis 1. If you cannot believe in the beginning God, period, then you have a problem with the rest of the Bible.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
Also, I want to read. He put up a blog today, yeah. And it's in response to all this stuff going on. So if you guys want.
Because, I mean, he's an artist we play. We had Lisa, his wife, yeah. on this last year. She was a great interview.
Great interview. Here's another part. This is well into the whole Noah story, and he's talking about, you know, his beliefs and stuff. So you'll have to go read the whole thing for yourself.
And
that's what I'm telling you, people. Go read the entire blog at mm-hmm. their music if you really want to check it out. If you want to be more than just retweeting or yeah. sharing something on Facebook and checking your mind out, then go read his blog. But anyway, this is just scratching the surface of the Noah story. And he continues, this is not even addressing the very clear geological record, problems with inbreeding, food predators, ecological systems, or 100 other things. Still, is it possible that it's true? Could God have shrunk all the species and miraculously sustained them on the ark, and then maybe Star Trek'd everything into place around the world after the boat landed, change the fossil record, make it appear as though it never happened? Because in the previous paragraph, he goes through like different scenarios, like, well, maybe this happened, maybe this happened, you know, maybe this happened. He says, of course it's possible. What's not possible? It's possible that God created a mature world 5 seconds ago, and all of our lives are just memories that he created in our heads right now. But is it plausible? Is it reasonable? I don't happen to think so. Yeah. And then, this is really interesting. He says, it's kind of weird to me that so many people seem to be talking about this, because from what I know of Christians, a lot of us don't take things literally. I would be very surprised to find a single respected and educated theologian or biblical scholar that believes that one must read Noah's flood completely literally down to the last detail to be orthodox. And then he says, I would contend... Wait, where's that thing I wanted to read? Phoenix, you had something you want to say?
No. I just wanted to comment on what you're saying there, because he actually has some very valid points.
Right.
Yeah, he really does. And there's another one here where he talks about, like, taking every verse out of the Bible literally.
Oh, okay.
I don't know where it went.
Yeah, while you're looking for that, let me just comment on what you've already read. And that is that he is correct. Mm-hmm. There are a lot, and that's why we started off by giving the three overarching views of how people approach Genesis. But there are great scholars in all camps who approach it differently. And what it comes down to this, it comes down to a theological principle that we call hermeneutics, and that is the science and art of biblical interpretation. Mm-hmm. Each of these guys, each of these, you know, representatives of a different school of thought approach the Bible differently. They interpret it differently. And so what has to happen, this is where it's almost an internal debate, mm-hmm. where iron sharpens iron. Let's sit down and let's talk about this. And invariably, what happens when you get guys who sit down and talk, we'll usually go, you know, we just have to agree to disagree, because people are on different camps. But we should not let our differing views, our differing interpretations, our different hermeneutical approaches necessarily divide the body.
Yes.
Now, there are times where someone has such a whacked out view that you go, I don't know about that, where you do have to draw a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. But again, what Mr. Gungor is saying is not anything extraordinarily out of the pocket.
Right.
Nothing you have said to me has surprised me. Now, it may surprise some in a very stringent literalist camp, but I think generally speaking, he is in a particular school of hermeneutical approach that, and he's right, many other scholars agree with him.
And he's not just kind of blanket statement, throwing things out there. Mm-hmm. This guy obviously puts a lot of thought into everything. If you've ever seen him live, his music,
detailed.
He puts a lot into it, so much so that when he wrote the, you know, he's saying, do I believe God exists? Yes. Do I believe Jesus is the Son of... When he gets down to the flood, he says, do I believe that God literally drowned every living creature 5,000 years ago in a global flood, except the ones who were living in a big boat? No, I don't. He talked before in his blog, What Do I Believe? When it talks about the flood, he mentions global multiple times. He talks about the mountaintop in the Middle East. He talks about all these things. So it could be that he believes a localized flood.
Yeah, here's what he's saying. He says, why does this happen? Why do some fundamentalists create a dichotomy where you must either believe the Bible, meaning that you take everything literally, no matter what science says, or say that it's a lie? And here's the interesting thing to me. So if you're a hardcore literalist, I want you to listen to this. I would contend it has very little to do with actual biblical scholarship, and far more to do with social groups, because no reasonable person takes the entire Bible completely literally. Right. It's not possible. The Bible says God is a rock. Do you take that literally? The Bible talks consistently about the corners of the earth. The people that wrote the Bible thought the earth was flat. When they envisioned the earth, they envisioned it with edges and corners, not as a spherical planet. But not too many people today are going to go around arguing that God is a geological entity that lives in the sky that created a flat square of land surrounded by ocean with heaven above us and Sheol below us. Why not? Because science has showed us that this is not possible. So we rightfully reread and reinterpret the Bible just as people have done for thousands of years. And I think that's a huge point, because what happens is when we say you have to take the whole thing literally, we are essentially doing exactly what we accuse other people of doing, and we are picking and choosing. Yeah. What you're doing is you're picking a different set.
Yeah.
You're picking the big things and saying, that's literal, but you are not choosing the little metaphorical sentences that are obviously poetry, obviously metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we mentioned his, I wanted to say this real quick. We mentioned his church, Bloom Church. He's got a statement about the church and what his church, what they're doing in Denver. And so here's what he says. Bloom Church is a group of people in Denver, Colorado who love Jesus. We're not so big on some of the things that are often done in Jesus' name, but Jesus, we think he is the hope of the world. Our quest is to take Jesus, his life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, more seriously than we take any other thing. That's pretty much how we understand what the word Christian means. At Bloom, we've tied ourselves to the story of God found in Jesus, which makes us decidedly Christian, but we gladly welcome anybody among us, regardless of gender, creed, race, sexual orientation, or any other division that we humans like to divide ourselves into. Our hope is that everyone who wanders into our community will taste the kingdom and come to love and embrace Jesus and his story too.
Yeah, that's, you know what? I would agree as a church, you know, to receive those, you know, we're sinners. We're all sinners. I think, too, the underlining thing here is when he talked about the homeless man, I think it's not even, I know we're kind of talking more about the scientific stuff and all that, but what I think his main point is that he, like many of us, see a failure of Christians around us in many ways that are not truly living a spirit-filled,
right,
powerful Christian life, a transformed life. And what happens is, for the literal part of it, if Christ is in us, I think his cry is, is it possible? And if you're not seeing that, that whole idea of, are you truly a follower of Christ? Because if you are, you will do what Christ has said. And I think it brings it to a level of obedience, because to me, I think we're not, I mean, look at the generation we live in, and we see a lot of Christian leaders falling. We see pastors falling. We see Christians that are their foundation is being wiped out because they're not truly living the Christian life. And that is bothering the church. We realize, don't we, that there are issues today that, where is the power of the Holy Spirit today? Right. Are we truly seeing God move, or is this all fabricated? You know, and that is a cry for every believer. We want to see God work. We want to see God move. And I think if we are to reach the homeless man, are we truly the Samaritan that is being Christ-like and shutting our car off, getting out on the side of the freeway and ministering to that person? Because I think that is really what he's talking about, the reality of a Christian life.
And I agree. And one of the things I would caution not only Mr. Gongor, but all Christians, and to use a cliche, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, that's very true.
What we don't want to do is we don't want to just say, let's all make this about a particular, once again, hermeneutic of how to interpret the Bible, just focusing in on one element of the Bible. Again, if you were to follow Jesus's course of thought throughout the four Gospels that we have, Jesus goes back to the Old Testament multiple times. So we have to take issue where Jesus takes issue. If we're going to be truly Christ followers, yes, we want to live a Christ-like life. And I am all for what Mr. Gungor's saying on certain levels. But where I would probably part ways is to say there are elements where Jesus is pointing back to a particular book in the Bible that I have to take unction and follow. Because if I'm going to be truly following Jesus, I have to follow where Jesus goes. And guess what? Jesus goes back to the Old Testament. And so it's a really nice, and again, I'm not claiming anything that Mr. Gungor is of this mindset, so hear me out clearly. I'm not saying that he's of this worldview. But the Gnostics of the early church tried to do the same thing. They wanted just Jesus separated from the Old Testament. They wanted Jesus separated from any cultural milieu of Judaism. They wanted Jesus separated from their own brands and understanding of other groups. They wanted the Jesus that morphed into their image. Well, guess what? We're not to morph Jesus into our image. We're to be morphed into the image of Christ. And because of that, we have to follow where Jesus leads. And Jesus sometimes leads us to the Old Testament. So it might sound nice and cool to say these blanket statements, but really we have to stop and think and look at the big picture and go, okay, what is Jesus telling us about? Where is Jesus leading us? And what does he mean when he quotes these Old Testament passages? So I think that's an important thing for us to understand.
Phone lines are open. It's Theology Thursday, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Let's go out to the phone lines again. Static!
Good morning.
Morning!
Morning. Hey, so I've got, I think, what's a hermeneutical question. You can tell me if I'm using that word right or not. So you guys mentioned a minute ago about with the one-man Adam and then the one-man Jesus, and the comment was that if you don't believe in the literal interpretation of Genesis, then it creates holes in the New Testament. So I'd kind of like to get your opinion on how you interpret things like Jude 9 when it talks about that, you know, the angel Michael arguing over the body of Moses with Satan. That's right. Actually, it doesn't appear in the Old Testament. It's actually in apocryphal literature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the like the when it talks about the rock that followed, like they gave water and followed the children of Israel around.
Yeah.
That's not in the Old Testament either. So do I really need to believe that that stuff actually happened for the New Testament to be true, or can I just say I believe what the point of the illustration is without a literal interpretation?
Great point. Jarrett, I'll let you, because you're, yeah, great question, by the way.
Yeah.
But I'll let Jarrett tackle, because you're the one that compared the Jesus to Adam, and go that, and then I'll address Jude.
Yeah, you know, I'll take the easier one. In 1 Corinthians 10, when Paul is talking about the rock and alludes to it, the rock, he brings out the mystery that, again, the rock that was, you know, brought forth water was Christ. And to not say that's in the Old Testament is a fallacy. Truly, in hermeneutics, and again, let me give you a quick definition of hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is actually the science and art of interpretation. The science and art of interpretation. Now, God obviously intended one interpretation. So when you look at 1 Corinthians 10, when Paul talks about the rock that was in the wilderness with them, he's speaking about the person of Christ who brought them water. Now, was it the physical water? I don't believe so. I believe that Moses actually drew water out. That was a miracle. But the type of that, and we have types, many types in the Bible, Christ would later on say that he's the living water. So Paul is referring back to the Old Testament and then back into the New Testament as a touch point to talk about Christ being the living water and that how it sustains them, just like it Christ sustains us today, being the living water for eternal life. And then, of course, in Revelation, it speaks of Christ being the living water again. So you have three points of contact there of the living water and the rock himself. Then as you move into Jude 9, when it speaks about Michael, and just briefly talk on this, and then Brian's going to take this. But when you think about Michael the archangel, refuting with the enemy, with the devil, over the body of Moses, where we know that he wasn't buried. God took him. So, and there, again, the idea is so that people wouldn't elevate Moses above just being a man. The overarching interpretation of that is not even necessarily the argument per se, but rather how to deal with the enemy. Because then he says, even Michael didn't say, rebuke, I rebuke you. And the point there is even for the believer, is that we, now this may be shocking to some because you hear this all the time, where certain believers will rebuke the devil in their own strength. Right. And God says, don't do that. He says, the Lord rebuke you, because our power is in Christ. And it's by the power of Jesus that we're able to rebuke the enemy, but it's in the Lord's name and the person, character, nature of Jesus Christ. So even Michael didn't even bring a reviling accusation against Satan, because much of what Satan held as far as his authority was true. But Michael didn't argue with Satan. Matter of fact, he said, the Lord rebuke you, and that's the end of the story. So that little story in verse 9 there of Jude isn't really, I mean, it's fascinating because it gives us insight into something that we don't know about, but the point that he's making is that we are under the authority of Christ, and when the enemy attacks us, that we should hide, if you will, under the authority of Christ, the Lord rebuke you. So, Brian?
Yeah, let me address your question specifically, because you started off by saying, is this a hermeneutical question? And the answer to that is yes, because hermeneutics is the science and art of interpretation. So then you go on to ask, well, can I look at something like in Jude 9 and see that just as a story, a larger narrative, and not have to believe the literal reality of that story? And the answer to that question is yes, you can do that. That is a hermeneutical approach. So when you're looking at Michael the Archangel, and Jarrett did a great job at interpreting and giving an application, but the literal context of this is Jude, there in verse 9, is taking this from a book called The Assumption of Moses. And this is an apocryphal book, as you pointed out. And in this story, you know, Michael sought to bury the body of Moses. And of course, the devil opposed the burial with the claim that he was Lord over matter and Moses, and it was a murder. So Michael called on the Lord to judge, and the judge was not granting authority to the assumption of Moses, and Jarrett gave that story. But what most people, most scholars say of him using this in this, is that he was making it an illustration. We have no record or insight as to whether Jude himself believed in the story. It would seem to indicate that Jude may believe in it, but we don't have any definitive idea that he actually believed that Michael the Archangel, embattled Satan this way. Because what we do understand is that the Assumption of Moses, as understood in the early church, was not a recognized book. So let me give you a parallel. It would be akin to Paul quoting from the poets of his day. Did Paul necessarily think that they were the Word of God? No, but he used a cultural norm, something that they would have understood, to bring a bigger truth, a greater illustration. So scholars think that Jude did the same thing with this particular story from the Assumption of Moses. He pulls out a story to make a greater truth, to use it as an illustration. But again, back to your point, these are all hermeneutic approaches. So it is important for us to understand that we can approach different books of the Bible based upon their genre, based upon their intent, the context, the history, and all of this. So we really do have to be careful in how we interpret each book of the Bible.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. The other thing I would say is I just appreciate the guts that it takes for the Gunders to kind of do this in public. These are all thoughts we have in private, and so it takes a lot of guts, and I appreciate it.
I think it's so difficult, because then when one person does this, it becomes it becomes a great post for Facebook to throw them out. And it sucks and that the church does that. So I agree with you on that point. It does take guts.
And I do. I agree with you. And here's the other thing. You know, we're one of the, and I hate to use this analogy, but it's one that people get. We're one of the only armies in the world that like to shoot our own, you know, units.
Shoot the wounded.
And so, you know, we just need to first understand that what he's saying is, you know, one of several means to interpret the Bible. But what we have to do is we could say we agree to disagree, or we agree here, we disagree there, but we shouldn't shoot our own people.
Yeah, I totally
agree.
Thanks for the call, man. That was great.
You. Later, guys.
All right.
Because I think one of the big things I don't understand in these situations, because, like, I understand being able to believe something and identify someone that does not believe the same things as you. You have to be able to do that, not only with theology, but in every aspect of life.
Right.
You know, you got to stand for something or you fall for anything. Country song.
Right.
But my thing is, when we do this, when we see posts flying around on Facebook and we're pointing fingers, why? Because at the end of the day, when you share that on Facebook, are you getting off Facebook and praying for Michael Gunger and praying that the Lord? And I know that might sound like a cop out, but
no,
it's totally
solid,
not.
It's a solid 2014 way of gossip.
Yeah, what are you doing other than pointing your finger and saying, "Hey, he's not right, but I am."
Yeah, I got to burn all my Jars of Clay records now because Dan Hasseltine on Twitter said he was for gay marriage.
Yeah, despite the fact he posted a blog apologizing for all that. Who even knows though? Because I didn't see that. I didn't share that on Facebook.
Right, because
I just wanted people to know where I stood.
You're right. We're quick to go after our own and shoot them. And then the very next day, Dan Hasseltine was like, "Hey, man." And the weird thing about that one is that happened back in April, and it was a few weeks ago that it really gained ground. Thankfully, we had a Theology Thursday about that.
That we could go back and reference.
It happened,
and
so
you know
we were
what?
Able to reference that.
I think a lot of it, too, we forget. You got to remember, guys, these Christian websites that are posting up news, they're just like us. They're just like me posting a stupid picture every morning on Facebook to get interaction so I can know that people are listening. They have to sell stories. Right. They have to sell advertising space. And I'm sorry to say, but when you see, we looked up the same article on two different websites
three.
And saw two or three different headlines.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, the Christian Post was the most sensationalized headline. Why? Because they wanted more shares. They wanted more interaction.
That was the one that we
saw
on
Facebook.
And
they totally got it. And Gunger directly references those websites at the end of his post today that he put up today.
Same exact story from three different Christian websites.
World Magazine, Charisma News, and Christian Post.
So here we go. Christian Post said, "Dove award-winning Gunger rattles Christian world with revelation they don't believe the Bible literally."
That's Christian Post.
That was a Christian Post. Christian News Network said, "Award-winning worship leader generates controversy for rejecting Genesis as literal," which is totally different than saying that he rejects the Bible. And then worldmag.com said, "Gunger drifts from biblical orthodoxy." That was the title for that one, but depending upon where you went.
And let me say with these headlines, they are important questions. There are important issues at stake. But what my contention with all of this is, we should have these internally, not shooting each other, not, you know, slinging stones at one another. But let's sit down and have a cordial, diplomatic, very Christ-like discussion. I think that is the you know, wise approach, rather than flinging dirt all around, because then it becomes a he said, she said,
and
so on
and
so
dirty.
Forth.
Then
what's really funny, if our computer will work, this computer hates me so bad. I want to read you the article of the title of the original article, which was from a secular magazine, and I absolutely can't because of this computer. Guys, it's the worst. But at the beginning of the article, if we can get up, the title of it, as
is
opposed
that it?
No, that's not it.
Okay,
I can't read it, but it's just funny because it talks. If I remember right, it says that he's still standing on the rock.
Yeah.
Which to me, we look at it. You see, the Christian articles are so sensationalized, but then you go back and you look at the secular article, which we can't look at because of our computer.
Yeah.
And it says he's still standing on the rock despite his battles with faith.
Again. And I don't even know if he's having a battle with faith. I see that he's probably recognized and realized there are other modes of interpretation, and he's jumped camp, if you will, from one mode, maybe a supra-literalist, and he's moved more towards an allegorical approach or, you know, a hybrid of the literalist. But again, he's not doing anything out of the ordinary. But I want to go back to our last caller, you know, the guy who said Jude 9. You know, he made a great point about that there are issues within the entirety of the Bible where you have to be cautious and look at the context of the section, look at what the book is. Is it poetry? Is it meant to be taken literally? Is it allegorical? Because when you look at Paul, specifically Paul, used definitively three of the four rabbinical methods of interpretation. And those in layman's term were a literalist. And then you get into a, you know, more of a higher level allegorical. And, you know, he even got into some figuratives and types and so on and so forth of that. So there is room for various interpretations because Paul himself used those. Jesus even alludes to different types of interpretation because those were common interpretive means which the rabbis used of their day. The only one that that Paul and Jesus, we don't really see an indication that they used is the Hebrew word sod, which means secret. And this is this kind of this secret meaning, like you hold it up to the moon and it's going to tell you that John F. Kennedy lived and Nostradamus and all of this type of stuff. So again, it comes down to hermeneutical approaches, and very important that we approach the Bible with a general understanding of those different types of interpretation.
Yeah,
I think it's important too. And this is kind of a question I have, because when Jesus came to earth, a lot of people were really disappointed in the type of Messiah he was, mm-hmm. because the big interpretation, the literal interpretation of all the Old Testament, because those kids had to memorize it. Jews had to memorize that thing when they were kids, right? They had to memorize the Torah and you know, they knew the poetry and wisdom, and they knew the prophets and all this stuff. And the literal interpretation was that Jesus was going to be a political Messiah that came in and kicked Rome out and got business handled. Right. But then he showed up, and it was entirely different.
He was establishing a wholly different kingdom.
His kingdom,
and people were like, wait!
Was totally different. So that's my thing. Like, when we get so hung up on our literal American interpretation of these scriptures, what are we missing? Because we're mm-hmm. talking about the Jewish people who had Jesus in front of them teaching them what God really meant, yeah. and they couldn't handle it. 'Cause they're like, no, that's not what it meant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it comes back to a very balanced understanding of how to approach the scriptural text. So great conversations, mm-hmm. but can we do one more plug for Lutzer this weekend?
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Erwin yeah. Lutzer, you need to come out if you're in the greater Albuquerque, maybe even up in Santa Fe, maybe as far down as Las Cruces or wherever you're at. Come on up, hear Erwin Lutzer. And again, John Warwick Montgomery is going to be at the Church Jarrett's Pastors, Calvary Knob Hill, for two nights in October. You want to make sure you look for that, because you talk about a brainoid. I believe John Warwick Montgomery has 11 like doctorate degrees,
gosh,
or something of that nature.
Amazing.
He's a philosopher, a lawyer, he's a historian, he's all of this. And he's going to be here. He's a Lutheran gentleman as well. So we're privileged to have him mm-hmm. here in Albuquerque in October. So you'll want to be looking out for that information. But make sure you come to hear Erwin Lutzer this weekend here at Calvary Albuquerque.
I'm excited. Details, calvaryabq.org. I'll be here Saturday night. I cannot wait.
That's going to be great.
I can't wait. Some references for you as we talk hermeneutics. There's some great resources available at Parchment's Bookstore right here on the Calvary campus. If you're not in the Albuquerque area, parchments.com for more information. That's it for us.
Woo!
Theology Thursday in the books. You can catch the podcast in its entirety. MyStaticRadio.com/TheologyThursday.
Yeah, man.
Solid.
Solid. Right. Good times.
Until tomorrow.
Goodbye.
Static.